This podcast is brought to you by Midway Chevrolet Cadillac and by Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep of Kearney.
Let's play some football!
The following is a sports presentation of ESPN Radio, 1460 AM KXPN and ESPNSuperstation.com. High school football is on the air.
Well, here they put Jared Hodgins split out wide to the right. Renderos, the only man in the backfield. Schaefer back to pass. He's going to throw it deep. He's got his tight end wide open. Olmstead's got it. Jacob is way behind everybody. Touchdown, Overton.
Today, it's the opening round of the state high school football playoffs. Our first contest takes us to Overton as the Eagles host the Clearwater Orchard Cyclones. High school football on ESPN Radio is brought to you by the KXPN Sports Club.
Long count. Quarterback draw. Schaefer gets back to the line of scrimmage, steps out of a tackle, has room, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Overton. That is a bread and butter play that we had not seen yet tonight, and Jared Schaefer goes 34 yards to put the Eagles up by 10.
Clearwater Orchard has made the playoffs in both seasons as a cooperative, while Overton is looking for their first playoff win since capturing the 2006 state title. It's the Cyclones and the Eagles coming up next. But first, it's the New Tech C pregame show, and with all of tonight's action, we take you live to Overton with Doug Duda and Tony Davis.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Overton High School for the start of the 2009 Nebraska State High School football playoffs as the Overton Eagles take on the Clearwater Orchard Cyclones. And there is a little bit of a wind blowing across the field today. A damp afternoon to start the 2009 playoffs and our coverage here on Platte River Radio and our network of stations. We've got seven football games that we'll be bringing to you today. Two here on ESPN as tonight we'll slide south and head to Arapahoe as they take on the Amherst Broncos. Pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7. Also coming up today on our sister station, KKPR, we're just down the road, Highway 30 at Elm Creek, where the Buffaloes are taking on Randolph. And also tonight on KKPR, Kearney Catholic will be taking on Ravenna. Pregame at 6 and kickoff at 6:30. Plus coverage of Giltner and Franklin today. That'll be on the Breeze 94.5 FM on ESPN 1550. Silver Lake will be taking on Eustace Farnham, kickoff at 4 o'clock. And Hastings St. Cecilia is playing Battle Creek tonight at 6:30 on KHAS. That's 12:30 a.m. Because of the weather, there have been some changes in what's going on in the high school football playoffs. So let's go ahead and start you off with that as you're out on your route to a football game, hopefully this afternoon. That includes the Potter Dix at Pleasanton game that's been postponed until Friday at 4 o'clock Central Time. And we will bring that to you tomorrow from Pleasanton on KKPR-FM, pregame at 3:30. Other games involving teams from the area, the Battle Creek-St. Cecilia game has been moved to Hastings College. They will play that at 6:30 now. Callaway and Maxwell, they've moved up their kickoff time to 3 o'clock this afternoon. And the SEM game at Hayes Center has been moved up an hour to 5 o'clock. Those are games from the listening area that have been changed so far today. We'll look at more of those as the pregame allows us. But Doug Duda, along with Tony Davis, doing the ball game today. Tony knows a little something about the playoffs. Remember the 1991 Bertrand Viking State Football Championship team. Tony, this is the time where it's supposed to start getting fun.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of fun. The teams, the pretenders are gone. The contenders have all arrived. All 32 of them, whether you think some of these teams may be pretenders. I don't think the two we're seeing here in this first game today probably should be a pretty good football team, and both these could advance and knock somebody off in the next round even.
Well, Clearwater Orchard is a second-year cooperative. Now, this is not two schools coming together. There is still a high school in Clearwater and a high school in Orchard, but they come together to play their sporting activities. And last year, the first year of the co-op, they made it into the third round of the state playoffs and really were kind of a bad break away from beating Axtell at home. Axtell with kind of a miracle finish last year, and the Wildcats went on to the state finals. So Clearwater Orchard was really one bounce away from maybe going all the way to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. They do not have that same type of team here this year. Overton, they're looking for their first playoff win since winning the 2006 state championship, which seems a little weird, Tony.
Well, you know what, Doug? They may not have that same team in Clearwater Orchard they had a year ago, but this whole season they played without number 49, Aaron Sleisner. This is a kid that's been hurt all year. He finally got a suit up, played some last week. They think he's about 100% this week. Glenn Stockgrass thinks he's an awful good football player and adds a totally different dimension to this team. For Overton, Doug, you're going to get a lot of Hodson. Hodson, Hodson, Hodson. And it's going to bore you to death. And just when you think Hodson's going to get it again, Schaefer's going to pull back. He's going to try and find Olmstead on a deep ball. They did it last week versus Alma, just when you thought, oh, they cannot run hot. So again, no, they don't. They throw a deep ball into what was a 62-yard touchdown pass to Zach Olmstead. Jared Schaefer does it at quarterback. Jared Hodson does it at running back. And they've got the passing game as well. This is a solid team. This came so far since we saw them week two of the regular season versus Axtell.
Well, it should be an exciting football game this afternoon. It's always exciting when the playoffs start. We remind you, not only can you hear the game here on ESPN 1460, but you can hear it on the World Wide Web, any of our games at ESPNSuperstation.com. So if mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, alumni, let them know. Shoot them an email. Give them a call. Let them know that Overton Clearwater Orchard today on ESPNSuperstation.com and ESPN 1460. This is the New Tech Seed pregame show from Overton. When we come back, we'll catch up with the coaches, Jeff Shabram of Clearwater Orchard and Glenn Snodgrass of Overton, right after this. Time out.
Helpful people, dependable products, the ones you can count on at Fast Fills Plaza on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Offering good customer service is easy when you connect with customers. Fast Fills is your local Cenex convenience store. Helpful, like great team members.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
L&S Tire and Towing in Elm Creek, along with J&L Sinclair in Overton, would like to take this time to wish the area teams best of luck in the game. For everything you need to keep your vehicle on the road, L&S Tire and Towing and J&L Sinclair has it.
Hello?
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, asking you to describe us in just three words.
Three words. How about awesome, cool, and awesome?
Visit Builders to make your project awesome, cool, and awesome.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on ESPN Radio as we get ready for the opening game of the 2009 playoffs. The Overton Eagles welcoming in the Cyclones of Clearwater Orchard, and we're joined by head coach Jeff Shabram. And coach, congratulations on making it into the playoffs. And I guess the first thing I want to know, this is just the second year of this cooperative, and boy, you guys are 2-for-2 in the playoffs. It must be working out okay. Is it working out as well as you thought it would?
You know, it has. Everything's messed really well. The two communities come together. The kids are working really hard, and I think everything can be said that, you know, we're pleased with the way things have gone.
What's been the most positive thing out of the cooperation, and are there some things that you're still trying to work around?
Well, the most positive thing is, you know, coming together, and if it wasn't for, you know, sharing, you know, each other's services, one of these two schools wouldn't even have a team. So bringing it together and giving all the boys, you know, the option of playing football is the positive thing. And bringing them together and getting students from two different schools together and making new friends is definitely a positive. I guess the only downfall, and probably the parents can attest to this more than anything, is we travel, you know, we practice in both towns. So if we're in one town, half the kids are, you know, they're getting home late, I guess, that night after practice.
Yeah, I guess that's the one thing too, that this is not a merger. This is a cooperativeship. So you got kids going to school in both towns.
That's right. They're still separate schools in Clearwater and Orchard.
And of course, you come up with the name Cyclones after what happened in Lincoln. Are you guys still proud to be Cyclones this week?
Well, you know, I guess last weekend I was rooting for the Cyclones to go 1-1, and we got ours. But I guess that Iowa State team got theirs too this weekend.
Coach, what's the biggest difference between last year's team that made a pretty good run in the playoffs and maybe what you lost from that team compared to what you've got this year?
Well, I tell you, last year, you know, we were led by 11 strong seniors, and we had a size galore, I guess. You know, we had big guys up front. We probably averaged about 260 on the line, but a lot of those big guys, physical guys, have graduated, and we've looked to these younger guys, and I think they've stepped in, they've filled in, and they found their niche.
The kid that folks will be looking at in an 8-man when you run the football successfully, you usually do pretty good, and Skyler Strope is the man that's going to try and do that for you. Tell us a little bit about him.
Oh, yeah. Skyler is a very, I guess I could put a determined, smart, elusive runner. He's kind of he's the total package. He really is, and we just have to find some ways to get him the ball and let him have some success.
Logan Hoffman is another kid there that does things for you offensively and defensively. He leads your team in tackles, although you're pretty balanced in that area as well.
Yeah, Logan Hoffman, our defensive end, he's He's a pretty good defensive end, good defensive lineman. He uses his technique, and he has a nose for the ball. And offensively, he's a pretty good blocker, too.
We're talking with the head football coach of the Clearwater Orchard Cyclones, Jeff Shabram, as they make the trip down to take on Overton. For folks that look at your team for the first time, we've touched on a couple of kids. Who else is going to have to play well, or what part of your team is going to have to play well if you hope to be competitive and give yourself a chance to win?
Well, we're definitely going to have to control the game on the line of scrimmage and play our style of football, and that's offensively and defensively. So we're definitely going to look to the linemen. You know, we're going to try to jump on their backs and see if we can keep this roll going. Overton is a tremendous team, a very good team, and what great tradition they have at Overton. And if we want to have a shot at this thing, we have to control the line of scrimmage offensively and defensively. So that's what we're going to stress, I guess. And hopefully we can come down and make a game of it, I guess. Hopefully we can keep it competitive, and I don't know. We'll see what happens in the end.
Well, obviously, they're a team that loves to run the football. What do you do in that aspect to try and get ready for that?
Well, we faced Newman Grove last week, and the two offenses are very similar. So, I guess I'm hoping that got us prepared for the playoffs here. But we're going to have to look good to our, you know, look hard to our run defense, and that includes the front three and the linebackers too.
We're chatting with Jeff Shabram, the head football coach at Clearwater Orchard. Coach, kind of a rarity here outside of Burwell. This whole D1 West field is not only west, but it's south. And is it hard to kind of get any kind of a grasp on any of the competition here because you haven't seen it or really played anybody that's played them?
That is true, I guess. I guess that's one of the exciting parts of the playoffs, too. And especially this year, they're pulling teams from, seems like, all over the state. And there's going to be a lot of traveling going on, but that's what makes it fun and interesting, and I think it keeps the excitement level up for the players, too, to face some new competition.
Coach, you played an afternoon playoff game last year. What's the difference between an afternoon game and playing in the evening, and I suppose even more so now that it's afternoon on the road?
Well, one thing, it helps us to get back for school the next day.
I'm sure the kids are fired up about that.
Yeah, right, but it'll help us on the travel getting back, and I guess you just hope you have that good bus ride coming home. But afternoon games are, that's playoff time, and they know that they come playoffs, and you never know when you'll be playing, what time of the day.
Finally, coaches, so much of the playoffs, especially if you're an underdog, is making sure that you get off to a good start. What do you, I guess, preach to the kids when you come out of the locker room, or do you do anything special to get through those first couple series of the game?
Well, it's definitely an adjustment, especially in new school and new field. You know, we've never seen this place before, so right away in pregame, I guess, you step off the bus, you total focus. That's what we're preaching, focus on the game.
Well, Coach, we wish you a safe trip. I look forward to a good football game, and best of luck to you and the Cyclones.
Thank you very much.
That's the head football coach at Clearwater Orchard, Jeff Shabram, joining us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll be back and talk with Overton coach Glenn Snodgrass right after this on ESPN Radio.
Overton Sand and Gravel is proud to support all the area high school athletes this year. Call Overton Sand and Gravel for your commercial or residential concrete and other rock. Overton Sand and Gravel, serving Overton and the surrounding areas.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on ESPN Radio as the state high school football playoffs get underway. And the first game in the area this afternoon is in Overton as the Eagles begin D1 play against Clearwater Orchard. The Cyclones, a first-year cooperative last year and took it all the way into the playoffs. And they're back in the playoffs of this year. And we're joined by head coach Glenn Snodgrass, whose team is coming off a district championship after downing Alma last week. And coach kind of did it in some cool, sloppy conditions last week. It looks like that's how we're going to start the playoffs today.
Yeah, we're used to that, and I think it doesn't bother our kids at all because we practice out in it every time it's raining. A lot of teams come in the gym, but we go right out there in the elements, so our boys are prepared.
Let's talk about last week with Alma, a nice win against a team that hasn't challenged you in the past, but you had something to play for in the last week of the regular season, really for the first time in quite a while.
Yeah, it was quite a game. Alma is a good football team. You know, I think they came out of that game with a few injuries, so it might slow them down a little bit in the playoffs. But, man, talk about a big physical team with some excellent backs behind those linemen. It was a challenge for us, and I was real happy we didn't have to play them again in the first round.
What will that do for you as you get ready for the playoffs, a game like that, instead of, say, a game that you wouldn't have to play your starters in the second half much?
Well, I can't see how there's too many teams in the state at D1 that's more physical than Alma and is going to bring it right at the middle over and over and over again with as much success as Alma did. I mean, they're one of the biggest teams that I've ever coached against. So knowing that we can hold up to that, you know, was a big bonus for us, a big plus. So I just don't think we're going to see anybody more physical than those guys. So it taught us some lessons and kind of showed us as a coaching staff some things we can do to slow down that power game. So it was a good game to end the regular season with. And, you know, you play Alma, you usually come out of a game like that pretty beat up and injured. But I think we actually came through it all right.
Overton football coach Clint Snodgrass joining us here on the New Tech pregame show. Coach, your big boys, Schaefer, Hodgson, the names that we're used to hearing were the guys that got it done, especially offensively last week. And as you get into the playoffs, I guess you want your big boys to step up.
Yeah, we feel like Jared and Jared, Schaefer and Hodgson are two of the better players in D1. Hodgson, he can do so many things. He can block, he can catch the ball. But the biggest thing he's going to do is if we need 2 yards, he'll get it, you know. So he wears teams down. He, in the fourth quarter, that's his time, and that's when he's had the majority of his big runs, when the defense kind of starts letting up and he just gets stronger and stronger as the game progresses. So he's, and, you know, also as the season progresses, he's getting stronger and stronger. He's a much better back now than he was in week one and two. And Schaefer, he can just do so many things, and he is such a smart quarterback. I mean, he knows how to read a defense. You know, we make small adjustments all the time, and he remembers that stuff, and he just runs our offense very, very well. So he can do so many things as far as throwing, running, and then he's a lead blocker for us on a lot of our sweep plays. So those two guys are stepping up big time as the season winds down, getting into the playoffs.
Over to Coach Clint Snodgrass joining us here. Coach, let's talk about your first-round opponent in Clearwater Orchard. You seem to be a stronger team than maybe you were last year. This team seems to maybe not be as strong as they were last year with some of the graduation, but they found a way. They've played a tough schedule, and they found a way to make it into the playoffs here. Well, what do you know about them?
Well, Clearwater Orchard's record is very deceiving. They've been injury-plagued all year long, and right now is the first time they've been 100% since week two. So their quarterback missed 4 weeks in the middle of the season, and that was when two of their losses took place. Their starting fullback missed, I think, 5 or 6 weeks in the middle of the season, and we saw that he played last week against Newman Grove. So had they have been healthy, they would have probably been either undefeated or a one-loss team. So it's not that typical first round gimme that you like to have after you have a good season. This is going to be a dogfight for us because they're very well coached, and as I said, they're healthy for the first time all year, and they really made quick work in Newman Grove last week, who's another quality team, and they really took it to them. So we're going to have our work cut out for us.
How would you describe their style of play, maybe on both sides of the ball, since most of the fans haven't seen this team before?
Well, what they do starts with their running back, Skylar Strope. He ran for 1,500 yards as a junior. So he definitely, as he goes, their team goes. He's a quick kid. He's going to be a lot like the running back we saw from Alma last week, but with more power and strength about him. So they're a running team who can throw the ball when they need to now that their starting quarterback is back in the mix. So definitely I would say a power team who like to throw play action off of that. And then defensively, no one has really ran on them with any success all year long. You know, Burwell beat them, but it was basically with their long passing game with their good wide receivers. So they're a physical defense, and they just play a little bit different brand of football than we're used to seeing around here. Northeast Nebraska up there is just a little bit different. So we'll see some formations and some things defensively that we haven't seen all year.
Glenn, Overton is one of those programs. You've been in the playoffs time after time after time, but it's been a couple years since you guys have been able to advance since winning the big trophy. I assume these kids are ready to make a run.
Yeah, they definitely want to make a name for themselves. We feel like last year, if we had been healthy, we could have been kind of in a similar position that we are now. But these guys, you know, you go 2 years in a row without a playoff win, 2 years in a row without a district title. You know, they're kind of feeling like it's time to take that next step again. So right now, there's just a ton of enthusiasm around the town and around the school for the football program. And, you know, we just had parent-teacher conferences the other night, and I just had a ton of people coming up to me and, you know, wishing us good luck and just telling us how excited they are about these playoff games. So we've got a lot of buzz going around town, and the kids are just practicing outstanding, and they're just excited to get going again, and hopefully we can make a little bit of run at things here in the West.
Well, Coach, best of luck, and hopefully we'll continue to see you throughout the playoffs, and good luck this afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
That's the head football coach of the Overton Eagles, Glenn Snodgrass. We'll be back at Overton to take a look at the starting lineups right after this on the New Tech Seed pregame show.
From checking and savings accounts to personal loans and 24-hour access to your funds, Five Points Bank personal banking solutions are simply better. To stay ahead in your business, you keep abreast of new technology. So does Five Points Bank. We'll help you stay one step ahead. Our experienced investment and trust advisors know the best way to help you achieve your goals. Stop by in person or visit us on the web at fivepointsbank.com. Five Points Bank, the better bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
And welcome back to Overton High School and the New Tech Seed pregame show as we continue to get you ready for this first playoff game in 2009 between the Eagles and the Cyclones of Clearwater Orchard. Had a little fun there, of course, with the Coach Shabram, as Cyclones, probably not exactly the word most Nebraska people want to hear this week. So, hey.
No, after the eight turnovers, he'll take any turnovers. This Overton Eagle team will give him, because that could be a big turning point in this game, especially on the damn field. Not much moisture falling at this point, Doug, but certainly a concern here about 3 o'clock, those chances increase.
Well, when we talk a little C2, C1 football, we always talk about the Northeastern teams. One interesting point is the D football in the Northeast has not necessarily always been that strong when you get to north of Howells and up in that area. Clearwater definitely comes in as an underdog at 5-3 every once in a while. Sometimes the record gets a little distorted when they come out of the Northeast, but they're going to have to get some turnovers. They're going to have to make some things happen. They're going to have to want to be here and play a physical brand of football against Overton, because that's the only way Overton knows. Weight room, physicality, run you over.
Well, yeah, they're going to want to run the football, because they're not a throwing team. They've thrown it 65 times this year, only completed 31 of those. So this is a team that doesn't want to throw the ball, and they're not going to throw the ball much. That's not their plan. If they can't run it, they're in trouble.
Well, let's take a look at the starting lineups for this opening round game of the D1 State Football Playoffs. And starting lineups are brought to you by Five Points Bank, your community bank. That means they invest in assets locally, make decisions locally, and take the time to know you. Five Points Bank, the better bank, truly cares about what's in it for you. First of all, the visitors from Clearwater Orchard, the Cyclone Cooperative, will start like this. On the line, number 31, a 220-pound senior, Cody Schott. Number 32, 200-pound senior, is Logan Hoffman. Also sharing some line duties, number 50, 245-pound junior, Aaron Hemingway, and numbers 96, 185-pound senior, Matt Melcher. The ends are number 34, 165-pound senior, Ethan Teal, and number 49, 170-pound junior, Aaron Schleisner. In the backfield, the fullback is number 17, a 140-pound junior, Tanner Hart. The I-back, over 1,000 yards rushing this year, for number 11, Skylar Strope, 165-pound senior. And the quarterback for Clearwater Orchard is number 22, a 165-pound junior, Calvin Willett. The head coach at Clearwater Orchard is Jeff Shabram, assisted by Dan Rober and Jay Schneider. They come in with a record of 5-3 on the season. Their three losses came in double overtime to Osmond, who's 6-2, to O'Neill St. Mary's, who's 5-3, and that was 50-42, so two one-possession losses, and then they were thumped by state-rated Burwell, who's fourth in the state at Burwell, 37-6. They're coming off back-to-back wins against Elkhorn Valley, and they beat a very decent Newman Grove team who's in the playoffs last week, 48-14. They are not rated in the state's top 10. For the Overton Eagles, the center is number 46, a 180-pound junior, Preston Meyer. At guard, number 72, 208-pound senior, Brady Cox. At tackle, number 84, 195-pound junior, Zach Olmstead. The ends, number 22, 180-pound junior Jake Jensen, and number 88, 195-pound sophomore Jacob Olmstead. In the backfield, the fullback is number 12, a 175-pound junior Michael Renderos. The I-back, number 20, 195-pound senior Jared Hodson. And the quarterback, number 8, 200-pound senior, is Jared Schaefer. The head coach of the Overton Eagles is Glenn Snodgrass, assisted by Eric Ryan, Clint Little, and Tim Ronenkamp. They are 7-1 on the season, the only loss coming to Axtell in the second week, and they are ranked 9th in the state of Nebraska in Class D1. So that's a look at your starting lineups for Overton and Clearwater Orchard, brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and your solution is Five Points Bank, taking care of customers one at a time. Five Points Bank, the better bank. And Tony, before we go to break, two interesting observations that may stick out to you if you're just listening to the starting lineups. Again, playoff time, half the field's gone. You might not be familiar with these teams. First of all, for Overton, they list a guard and a tackle because most of the time they run an unbalanced line. That's something that goes all the way back to Glenn Snodgrass's high school days at North Loop Scotia. They like to run the unbalanced line and use the power, and they'll pull the quarterback as a lead blocker. He'll pitch it, and he'll be the first one in the hole, not necessarily the fullback. For Clearwater Orchard, Tony, their fullback is 140 pounds. That snuck out. That stuck out to me.
That doesn't exactly blow you away with the size, Doug. But remember now, the Sleisner kid, normally their fullback was out this whole year, so that might be a makeshift backfield a little bit. Looks like he was the one running with the first-string offense. Looks like they're going to go with him. The smaller guy has a fullback tonight.
Well, that might make a big difference because Aaron is 170 pounds, and if they do switch him off of a end position and put him in the backfield, they'll really be able to get to him.
Little side note, too. Number 12 is listed in your program as Joseph Renderos. Well, you talk to Clint Snodgrass, and he says, I have no idea who Joseph Renderos is. Everyone calls him Michael. They tell him the only time he's called Joseph is by his mother, and that's when she's extremely upset with the young man. So we're going to try and go with Michael because we love you, Michael.
Well, let's take a break here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll be back right after this. Time out.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
Is this the year for a brand new affordable, yes, I said affordable home? Or maybe you'd rather invest in a new fifth-wheel travel trailer. We've got you covered both ways. We're Eagle Crest Homes and Campers, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
S.A. Foster Lumber in Overton welcomes contractors and do-it-yourselfers. Foster's is a complete lumber yard and carries everything you need to spruce up your home, too. From hammers to power tools, new doors, paint, hardware, windows, and much, much more. See Foster Lumber in Overton. Best of luck, athletes.
Qdoba knows how to make a burrito stand out above the crowd, starting with a thin shell always steamed, then piled high with meat or chicken, rice with lime and cilantro, cheese, and all the other fillings you want. Qdoba on the corner of 25th and 2nd in Kearney, proud supporter of all the area teams.
Back on the New Tech Seed pregame show, Tony, how much will the weather affect this football game here today? Right now, it is not raining.
No, Doug, and I think, you know, the middle of the field, yeah, it's a little torn up, but you get to the edges where everybody in Eight Man wants to get, it's a perfect putting of grass out there. I think both these teams want to run the football. That's going to limit things. Yeah, through the pass, I think the ball could be slippery and come off people's hands, maybe for an interception you don't see coming, but really, on the ground, I think the conditions are fine. I don't think it'll affect this game much one way or another.
Well, the opening toss was won by Overton. They deferred, so they will be kicking off, and I think that's probably what they prefer. They want to put their defense out there, and if the game is still close at halftime, they'll get the ball first. Well, you've been listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed, see Terry or Jason Stark or a New Tech Seed dealer near you. We'll be back with the opening kickoff right after this.
Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in the game. Whether you're running your business or running up the score, you can get hurt, and they can help. Dr. Lauren specializes in the treatment of foot and ankle problems. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
You're headed in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Can't seem to find that car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Pillion Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979. 8th and Central, Kearney.
Helpful people, dependable products, the ones you can count on at Fast Fills Plaza on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Offering good customer service is easy when you connect with customers. Fast Fills is your local Cenex convenience store. Helpful, like great team members.
age 50 or older? Hey, is there any benefit of being mature? You bet there is. At Barney Insurance, we have programs especially designed just for you. Did you know that you are a low risk? Mm-hmm. Call us at Barney Insurance, 237-2222.
Doug Duda, Tony Davis, our producer and engineer, Merritt Lawson, as we get ready for high school football on ESPN 1460 and the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. This is one of the earliest football games. There are a couple that got moved to about a 1:30 start. We remind you, if you are in the listening area and have a score of a football game that's going on, we'd love to have you either call it or text it to the Valentino's score line, 646-0506. All we need is the score and the quarter, and we'll get it out to everybody listening today. The wind is going to be into the face. Overton's actually going to kick into the wind here, Tony, which I think is a little unusual because they deferred. Clearwater Orchard picked, and Overton's kicking into the wind.
Yeah, you know, and then obviously kicking was a real point of concern for Overton last week when we saw him with Alma. Hardly made any of the extra points. And just getting the ball close to the goal line was a concern as well. So,
well, we're ready to get some football underway here on ESPN Radio, KXPN, Kearney, Overton, and Elm Creek. The ball is on the tee, and Clearwater Orchard will put Strope back, and it's a high, very, very short kick, taken at the 17-yard line up to the 20 right side. 25, it'll be stacked up at about the 27-yard line. They won't even get the tackle made. They'll just stop the man that's bringing the football up the field in Ethan Teal. It'll be first down and 10 for the Cyclones of Clearwater Orchard at the 27-yard line.
I know that ball was kicked higher than Hodson wanted it, but that wind just ate it up, Doug. It just killed it immediately.
If Overton hopes to have some success, they need to shore up that kicking game badly here in the next couple of games if they want to make a deep run in the playoffs. So we're ready to go. Line up in the basic eight-man I formation. Remember, it's an 80-yard field here at eight-man football, and Strope off the left side to start the football game falls forward to between the 29 and the 30. He's going to get two. It'll be second down and eight. And that was nothing but falling forward, Tony. There wasn't a whole lot of technique involved there.
Now Brady Cox and Zach Olmstead right there, the defensive front for the Eagles, brought him down almost immediately. You're right, he did fall forward, but that was it.
So second down at eight. Don't expect to see a whole lot of razzle-dazzle today out of Clearwater Orchard. They go single wing. They give it to him again off the left side, and he gets a yard to the 30 and stacked up there. Overton is winning the battle at the line here on the first series.
Yeah, obviously you come out and you want to feel out a team. You thought you saw something on film, but you were misled by what the film showed you because it is the right side of the defense for Overton. It has made two great stands here in first and second down.
Well, they gave the ball to Tanner Hart that time out of the single wing, probably trying to set things up as this ball game progresses in the single wing there for Strope. So it's going to be third down and seven, opening possession. And they'll fake and roll to the right. Quarterback Willis looking, has some time, throws it out here in the flat, but overshoots his intended receiver, Ethan Teal. And on the coverage was Jared Schaefer. So three and out for Clearwater Orchard. They'll have to punt with just 10:51 to go here in the first quarter. They used up a little bit over a minute on their opening possession.
You know, and obviously we haven't saw Clearwater Orchard this year, Doug, but once again, you put yourself in that fourth and a long eight situation, it's really unmanageable. You've got to throw the ball. You're forced to throw the ball. Overton had to play covered very well.
So it looks like Willits will drop back to pump the ball away. And Schaefer is back deep. Snap is there. Here comes the rush. It is partially blocked off the side of his foot. And it's going to roll forward pretty good into Overton territory, down to the 30, down to the 27-yard line. It's going to end up being a punt of about 23 yards. I'm not sure if he shanked it or if it was actually blocked, Tony. If it would have been a good kick off his foot, it would have been blocked. I think he just kind of shanked it over to the left and got a roll on it, 23 yards.
Yeah, the snap was good. They had two blockers over midway between him and the line that were shifted over to the right, but it looked like he stepped right behind him, right where everybody was coming.
Well, here comes that unbalanced backfield, strong to the right side. First offensive play of the playoffs for Overton, and it's bread and butter. Hodgson, following his quarterback Schaefer, crashes forward to the 30-yard line, and he gets 3 yards. It'll be second down and seven.
Doug, we talk about it every time Overton. We do an Overton game. Very seldom. You hand it off and have your lead blocker be your quarterback and risk injury with him. That's what the Overton Eagles started doing now with the McCarter boys a long time ago and have continued to do it to this point.
And Schaefer, about 25 pounds heavier than Renderos, has a little bit more frame on him as well and can probably move some people out of the way. So second down and seven, ball on the 30, near hash by the Overton sideline. Schaefer under center this time, long count, and he'll take the snap and run option to the left side. He'll keep the ball. It's well covered. We've got a penalty flag on the back side of the play, and driving Schaefer backward for the tackle is going to be Cody Schott. Let's see what the penalty flag is all about. That was away from the play and downfield too, Tony.
Yeah, it looked like it must have been a hole down the field, but it was clear on the other side of the field.
And it's going to be defensive holding on Clearwater Orchard. Very strange penalty flag, but that's going to be enough to move the chains here, would appear. The option only for 1 yard, so thumbs up to Clearwater Orchard for that. Unfortunately, it's going to be negated by just a strange flag. It was not a pass play. It was not ever going to be a pass play. And there could have been only one guy, the defense or the right end for Overton. They could have even been held on that play. Very strange, and the official taking some time to sort this out.
But, Doug, apparently Clearwater Orchard does know that they will send Olmstead from that right side down the field. Somebody had to just lock him up and held him.
So it's going to be a 10-yard penalty, our first of the game, and they'll walk it into Clearwater Orchard territory at the 38-yard line. First down and 10, first down of the ball game comes via the penalty.
It is Jacob Olmstead. There are two Olmstead brothers out here. Jacob, 195-pound sophomore.
He's the end. Zach works on the line as that tackle. And Olmstead on the right end. Unbalanced line again. Strong to the right side. First down and 10. Schaefer going to hand it to Hodgson up the middle. And Clearwater Orchard's all over him. He gets a yard, maybe a yard and a half.
Doug, I believe that was Colburn in there, number 30. On a handoff, doing a little bit of mixing it up. Hodgson was running a faker on the left side of that play.
Yeah, you're right, Tony. 30 instead of 20 on that one. It's going to be good for a whole yard.
There's one thing, if you never saw the Overton Eagle uniforms, they have a dark blue, and then the numbers are black on them. Very, very difficult to see.
So it'll be second down and 9, and this time it is a toss to the left side. Hodgson bounces off the end, got a little room across the 35, down to the 30, and he is going to be pushed out of bounds near the first down marker, but there is a penalty flag right where he headed up the field. Overton's been pretty clean this year as far as the penalties, but this looks like it'll be on Overton because it's right where Hodgson turned the corner. And holding on Overton will negate and a 10-yard run and a first down. And so instead of having it down at the 27-yard line at Clearwater Orchard, that's a big penalty in eight-man football because it moves it all the way back into Overton territory at the 32.
Yeah, it was something that was a pretty easy call, though. The flag came out immediately. It was right at that, right where he turned the corner and went up the field. So now Overton doesn't want to throw the ball much either, Doug. When they have to, they will. But in these obvious situations, they don't want to.
So that's going to bring up second down and 19 yards to go here for the Eagles. We're scoreless 3 minutes into the playoff game. Clearwater Orchard at Overton. Make the toss back to pass. Looking for Olmstead deep. He's not there. They throw it underneath. It's tipped and intercepted. Clearwater Orchard has it with Calvin Willis up to the 30, down to the 20, spinning inside the 10 and brought down at the 8-yard line of the first break of the ball game. Goes to the Cyclones.
That brought down by Zach Olmstead. Pass thrown well behind the intended receiver, about a yard behind him. And Willis just sat there and gobbled that ball up and took it back into Eagle territory all the way down to the 8-yard line.
So a turnover on the opening possession, and that was set up because they had the penalty, Tony. They thought they needed to throw the football.
Yeah, I think if Schaefer actually had Olmstead down the field, it was more open, but tried for the short flat pass, and Willits was there instead.
Well, Willits is your quarterback. Stroke the eye back. They'll give it to him off the right side. He's looking for a hole. There is not one. He'll get to the 7 and be stacked up there. This will be the interesting thing. They only picked up 2 yards on their first possession. Will they be able to do anything here? It'll be second down and goal at the 7.
That's a third pass interception of the year for Willett here for the Cyclones. So he's been there before.
8:30 to go here, and I'm sure Schaefer hasn't thrown very many. When he throws, they're usually pretty open, or else he tucks it under and runs. Second and goal, Clearwater Orchard at the Overton 7-yard line, trying to shock the Eagles. And off that single wing, they give it to Strope. He's around the left end of the 5. He lowers his shoulder. He'll be pushed out of bounds at the 2-yard line. So for the first time out of the single wing, they give it to Strope. He picks up 5. It'll be third and goal.
Hodgson, Jensen, Colburn, all there for the Eagles, stopping him short of the goal line.
So trying to cash in the interception to start this football game. Coming in with the play will be Preston Meyer. Now, do they just try and keep it on the ground for 2 plays and hope they can get in? Or do they try to go through the air because they know Overton's going to be coming hard on the ground? Unbalanced eye, Strope right behind his quarterback. They will turn. They will give it to him off the right side, and Strope is going to get into the end zone. Touchdown, Cyclones. So Clearwater Orchard, who didn't look like they had a lot of pep warming up or in that first series, gets it turned around on a two-yard touchdown run by Strope, and it's 6-0. Cyclones strike first after the interception from Calvin Willis.
Yeah, Doug, just a quick note here. That was Jared Schaefer's fifth interception of the year, so doesn't throw them very often, but that one was a costly one.
And now they line up to go for the two-point conversion, which in the eight-man game always seems to get interesting. And now they're going to empty the backfield for a wildcat formation. Direct snap to Strope. He tries to get to the right side. Good seal block, and he'll get in there for the two-point conversion. Ethan Teal with a great block to let him get around the right end.
Yeah, he locked up Olmstead as we locked up on the outside, and he walked in the end zone.
So a little bit of surprise to start this playoff game with 8:11 to go in the first quarter. Clearwater Orchard 8, Overton nothing. We'll have the kickoff after this timeout.
Overton Sand and Gravel is proud to support all the area high school athletes this year. Call Overton Sand and Gravel for your commercial or residential concrete and other rock. Overton Sand and Gravel, serving Overton and the surrounding areas.
We believe you deserve the best. That's why we're here at Ag West. You gotta go AgWest.com. Go Ag West.
Is injury keeping you on the sidelines? Let Drs. Dan Slosky, Heber Crockett, and John Wright help you get back in the game. Fellowship trained in sports medicine, they can provide the necessary treatment and rehabilitation to get you on the field or court. New West Sports Medicine at 3219 Central Avenue, Suite 102, Kearney. For the athlete and all of us.
Doug Duden and Tony Davis back with you here at Overton, where Clearwater Orchard has cashed in the first score of the day. 8-0 with 8:11 to go in the first quarter. And the kick is away. Line drive it into the end zone about 6 yards deep. And that is exactly what Clearwater Orchard needed, is not to allow Overton a kick return there. And, Tony, we talked about it in the pregame. Clearwater Orchard is the underdog. They're going to have to get some turnovers. And they get one. And the first one they get, they take it into the end zone on a little 8-yard drive.
Yeah, you immediately convert that. And immediately, maybe a team that didn't know if they belong, all of a sudden they do belong. And that could be trouble for the Eagles as well.
Now let's see if this gets Overton fired up here. They have rarely trailed this year. And now as they break the huddle and come up to the line of scrimmage, we've got a flag. Already quite a few flags here in the first quarter, Tony. We've seen a couple of holdings, one a defensive holding, one an offensive holding. And now here, somebody must have come up to the line of scrimmage with some illegal equipment or didn't have the mouthpiece in, one of the two. And unsportsmanlike conduct.
Well, that's
it'll
a
be the
big penalty, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a 15-yarder. And I'm not sure they're throwing something over to the sideline here, a wrap or a towel. And that really negates a nice kickoff and kind of one of those, wow, it has nothing to do with what's going on the field. But it's a 15-yard penalty. It's a uniform infraction on Clearwater Orchard. And so the 15-yard penalty moves it all the way out to the 30.
Well, Doug, Coach Shaver wants a little bit of clarification. The officials are actually talking this one over.
Let's find out what the call is. Yeah, he's not saying it's right or wrong. He wants to know the explanation, wants to know if the mark-off's right. He was maybe hoping for a delay, a 5-yard penalty. So here we go, first down and 10. They'll send Hanson out of the backfield in motion to the right side. And it's going to be a quarterback keeper, Schaefer. He's got a lot of room, 35. And then he is solo pushed out of bounds at the 38-yard line. And making the tackle is Ethan Teal. And, Tony, they sent Hanson in motion. Then he went up and made the block. And Teal was the only guy there. And, boy, he really made a great open field move there. And Schaefer, you usually see him make everybody miss. He didn't make that guy miss at second and one, though.
Yeah, Schaefer could have probably got that first down relatively easily had he just taken the course out of bounds. He tried to take it back to the middle of the field, and a good tackle on the play.
So second down and one. And Schaefer's going to give it to Hodgson. Toss sweep left side. First down into Clearwater Orchard territory. Down to the 35-yard line, a gain of 6.
That's a little bit more like Eagle football that Glenn Snodgrass wants to see. That's one of those, you see the line move some people. You saw a hole there for the line of scrimmage, and 4 or 5 yards is had.
So it'll be first down and 10. They'll mark it just short of the 35-yard line. 8-0 Clearwater Orchard. Overton on their second possession as it's a heavy, misty afternoon here in Overton. Long count by Schaefer, and he is going to give it to his fullback, and Renderos over the left side is going to crash forward for a couple. They might give him the ball out to the 32, and it'll be second down and about 7 yards to go.
Not sure Schaefer wanted Renderos to carry that ball or not. It looked like they had a fight over it when he was trying to, fullback's trying to go up the middle with the ball. Schaefer's trying to pull it out of there. Finally, Schaefer gave up and gave it to his fullback.
So second down, 7 yards to go, 7 minutes to go here in the first quarter of play. It's 8-0 Clearwater Orchard as the trains roll by Union Pacific. This one heading towards Kearney, heading towards the east. Here is a handoff to Hodson over the right side, and he's going to get inside the 30, but only to about the 28. He'll pick up three, and it'll be third down and three.
Yeah, good tackle on the play by Cody Schott for the Cyclones.
Lions doing a good job so far for the Cyclones.
Yeah, they are, and I think Overton, they've got a lot of people up there, too, to help out on that defensive line, Doug. I think that's why you're seeing maybe some motion. They got Hodson out of the backfield. They moved Olmstead out on this possession one time as well, trying to get one person, one body out of that middle.
Neither team is really huge on the line, but maybe a little more bulk for Clearwater Orchard. Unbalanced line to the near side here on third down and three, I formation, Schaefer. Going to turn, hand it to Hodson, and Hodson is going to be grabbed, but keeps the legs turning, is going to be very, very close to the first down. Depends where they mark the ball here, Tony. We may see the chains come in. He was hit about a yard and a half short, but again, fell forward, and they're going to bring the chains in, and I think he's going to have it, Tony.
Yeah, it looked like he got close enough to the 25-yard line there that they'll probably have to give him a first down once they stretch these chains. Yeah, immediately when he was hit, I didn't think he had it, but you're right. He keeps the legs turning, leans forward, and he's got a first down.
And he will have enough to move the chains. That's the third first down here for Overton. And it'll bring up first down and 10. Again, it is a little chilly out there. When we left Kearney a little afternoon, it was a lot nicer, but it's windier and colder here just about 30 miles to the west. First down and 10, ball at the 26-yard line. Schaefer, a little misdirection. He's going to give it to Hodson around the left end. He is stacked up as he comes across the 25 to the 24, picks up a couple.
Aaron Schleisner waiting right there for him. You see Schleisner kind of limping around out there. He is not himself, Doug, already in this game. Hodson dropped his shoulder and ran right over the top of him.
And last week against Alma, Hodson had some tough yards. He got a lot of yards, but he carried the ball a lot and didn't have a lot of big gains in the football game, and he's being punished here so far in the first quarter. On second down, they'll give it to the fullback right side, big hole, 20, 15 into the secondary, 10, and down to the 6-yard line, first and goal, as Hodgson lined up as the fullback that time on the quick hitter.
Yeah, good hole over the right-hand side. Nobody gets a hand on him, but just one of those quick hitters. He fires through that line of scrimmage so fast, nobody got a hand on him until he was 6-8 yards down the field.
And they want to go no huddle and try and catch the Cyclones on their heels here on defense. First and goal at the 6. Hodson, left side, weak side, and coming around from the backside and tackling from behind is Aaron Hemingway. He got to the 5. Great play there by Hemingway. That's one where maybe the hurry-up offense actually hurt Overton. They weren't as ready on the right side. And Hemingway came around.
And that is Hemingway. It's not Hemingway. So no doubt his grandfather is not Ernest.
Thank you. 8-0 Clearwater Orchard. 4:50 to go here in the first quarter. But Overton trying to change that. Second and goal at the 5. Schaefer in the middle of the football field. Takes the snap. Gives it to Hodson over the right side. He's got a hole. He gets into the end zone. Touchdown Overton. Jared Hodson with the touchdown. And it's 8-6.
Doug, it looks like maybe up at the line of scrimmage, there's a definite height advantage. It looks like the Eagles over the Cyclones. He just got lost in there. Nobody could find him. He just kind of ducks his shoulder, and he's in the end zone.
And now the exciting part, they usually line him up, and he has to change his shoe. Hodson, he changes his shoe. He puts on that special square-toed shoe, and he still only has the 40 seconds or so to get lined up for the extra point. The holder here will be Jacob Jensen, so they will go for one. The kick is good on the way and through the upright. So they had all kinds of problems last week at Alma. Here the snap was good. He took an extra step. Last week he was taking a half step and punching it. Here he actually took a step, kicked the ball, and it goes through the uprights. Overton still trails 8-7.
That was kind of funny. Before the game, I came out and said, Clint, you're still going to try and kick that? And he kind of grinned. He said, Tony, he's actually a pretty good kicker. I don't know if the weather got into his head last week at Alma or what, but boy, he was just bad. It never did complete one against Alma.
4:40 to go in the first quarter. Clearwater Orchard 8, Overton 7. Back with the kickoff after this on ESPN Radio.
Hogan's has it. For all you athletes and fans, we have everything you need from Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, Mizuno, Asics, and more. And along with a great selection of shoes and apparel, we offer screen printing, embroidery, trophies, and engraving too. Hogan's Sporting Goods, 2412 Central Avenue, Kearney.
L&S Tire and Towing in Elm Creek, along with J&L Sinclair and Overton, would like to take this time to wish the area teams best of luck in the game. For everything you need to keep your vehicle on the road, L&S Tire and Towing and J&L Sinclair has it.
And welcome back to high school football here on ESPN Radio. The 2009 playoffs are underway. Tony, I think in all the years of covering Overton, we'll get to it after the kickoff here. Again, a very short kick. It's going to be taken at the 17-yard line again. And some running room across the field, 20, 25, Teal to the 30, and up to the 35-yard line. Great starting field position here for the Clearwater Orchard Cyclones. And I think that, just getting back to the previous point, years past, if the other team went for two and made it, Overton would have went for two every single time. That's the first time I've ever seen them kick the ball down by two or three or 4 points. They did not go for two, so Clearwater Orchard, who cashed in a interception on the first possession for Overton, still leads at 8-7, and they start here their third possession at their own 35-yard line. Out of the single wing, very tight. Quarterback's going to keep it himself around the right side. He slips, and he's not going to be able to get more than back to the line of scrimmage as he's hemmed in there. No gain on the play, second and 10.
Yeah, Doug, the defensive line playing awfully well in the early stages of this game. That was an Olmstead coming from the left side. They tried the left side of the line on the first possession. Now they're trying the right side of the line and haven't found no luck at all. Other than when they gave them an incredibly short field down there inside the 10.
8-7 year score, Clearwater Orchard, ball right on the middle of the field at the 35-yard line. They'll go out of that single wing and back to the I formation. They fumble the snap, but it goes right back to Willis. He's just going to run it himself and probably got as much as they would have expected. He comes up for about a 4-yard gain to the 39.
Now Jacob Olmstead comes all the way laterally down the line of scrimmage and able to run him down from behind. Otherwise, actually had a pretty good wall set up in front of him.
So third down and 6 here for the Cyclones as high school football continues on ESPN Radio. We remind you that just down the road, they're getting ready for a C2 matchup at Elm Creek. They take on the Randolph Cardinals, and you'll be able to hear that on KKPR 98.9 FM, pregame 2:30 kickoff at 3. Third down and 6 here. Willis takes the snap, going to hand it to Strope off the left side. He gets across midfield and is going to stretch the ball just short of the first down. He got 5, and this might be decision time for the Cyclones. They're going to have less than a yard to go on fourth down.
Doug Brady Cox shot all the way through the line. He was about 4 yards in the backfield, and just out of his reach, Strope went down the field. That would have been a huge play for this Eagle defense.
Not the greatest spot in the world. It's going to be fourth and a yard. The ball is marked on the Overton 36. Clearwater Orchard is lining up to go for it here, and let's see who gets the job done. Brady Cox lined up at the nose tackle. Will Willis go quarterback sneak, or will they give it to Strope? Hard count. He takes it, gives it to Strope, left side, and he is going to be stacked up short of the first down. He tried to get all the way to the outside. It looked like he was going to get there, but Jensen and Olmstead closed things down.
Well, what a great one-on-one tackle. Jacob Jensen on the outside of that play took Strope backwards. It was something that's racked up 1,096 yards as he entered this game. He doesn't go backwards very often.
No gain on the play. It looked like he was going to be able to get out there, and boy, did it close in a hurry, Tony. And if you're going to go for it, you got to make it, and they didn't. So 8-7, Clearwater Orchard, and Overton is going to get the ball back here on downs. First and 10, their own 36. Again, unbalanced, both the line and the backs, and Schaefer, before they can get going, we're going to see penalty flags come flying.
Yeah, they got Jensen for moving too early on that left-hand side. Never did get set on the things they're going to say, and they're going to back them up 5 yards here. It'll be first and 15 for the Eagles.
Well, definitely Overton is winning the football game on the field, but Clearwater Orchard is winning the football game on the scoreboard. After the interception, they marched 9 yards to get in, and that's been basically their total offense. The Cyclones currently have 20 yards of offense in this football game. Hodson has 41 on the ground. And as a team, they have 54 yards. We've seen two passes, one picked and one incomplete. So first and 15 here for the Eagles. That'll back them up to their own 30. And Schaefer wanted to keep it, and he is going to be set behind the line of scrimmage. Shooting through there basically untouched was Logan Hoffman, and they're going to drop him at the 28-yard line.
That Logan Hoffman was 3 yards. Schaefer had nothing could do nothing back there. Hoffman on him immediately after he got the ball in his hands.
So it is going to be second down and 17 yards to go at their own 28-yard line. They will put Schaefer in the shotgun, go with three wideouts in their spread formation. Schaefer, a quick little slant to Olmstead, complete 30, 35 to the 40, and he's going to be drug down just short of the first down by Ethan Teal. And that was a very well-designed play. 16 yards on the play. We'll call it third and two.
I guess you would call that a sack on Schaefer, the play before that. Ben Hoffman's sixth sack of the year for the Cyclones. Very well-thrown ball from Schaefer. I just hit Olmstead in stride there.
Not a complex play. That's one where the wide receivers had to make their blocks. It's third down and two, though. Here can Overton pick that up. They'll give it to Hansen over the left side, and he's going to have it. Get down to the 33-yard line. He needed two. He got three and moved the chain.
Yeah, you're right. Those linebackers, or the end, did a good job down the field of sealing that linebacker, and Olmstead just had one guy to beat her. He's been off for six.
These are going to be the things that hurt the underdog, Clearwater Orchard. They went for it on fourth and one, didn't get it. Then they had Overton backed up, second and 17. They get the first down. So it's first down and 10 here. Eagles trailing 8-7 with a minute 10 to go in the first quarter. Ball is going to be at the 33-yard line. And Schaefer wants to pass, looking for Olmstead, lobs it out here, makes the catch at the 15, dropped the ball, and they're going to rule it incomplete. That was close to a fumble. Olmstead caught it, and just as he turned up the field, it slipped out of his hands. And instead of a touchdown, it's going to be second down.
Well, they could have called that either way, I think. It was almost like he caught the ball above his head, tried to secure it down around the waist, and just flipped out of there.
Well, they're going to quickly snap it again and run a quarterback keeper around the right side, Schaefer. He'll cut it back up inside across the 25 and get down to the first down marker at the 23. He's going to be very close. We go to Kevin McConnell in the instant replay booth, and he says it was incomplete, Tony.
Fair enough. Who can argue with Max?
They're going to mark him just short of the first down. Seen a lot of marks short of where we usually see him. Tony will touch on that in a minute. It's a 9-yard run by Hodson. It's third down and one. Schaefer, quarterback, sneak takes back. That was Schaefer last time on the 9-yard run. And he's going to get the first down, it would appear, here.
Doug Schaefer's really maybe the one player for Overton. Well, Jensen's played awfully well towards the end and improved a lot. But well, that first time we saw him against Axtell, looked to be very timid coming off that shoulder injury, wanted no part of contact, really looks a lot more confident right now.
Even last week a little bit. First and 10, and Schaefer, short side, is going to hand it off to Hodson. He'll go between his guard and tackle and get down to the 16-yard line, a gain of about three, and that will probably be the final play here of the first quarter, as with Overton checking the sidelines. They will not get another playoff. So the 2009 playoffs, one quarter in the books here on ESPN Radio. And the 13th seed Cyclones of Clearwater Orchard have the lead at Overton here in the D1 West bracket. It's Clearwater Orchard 8 at Overton 7. We'll be back with the second quarter after this timeout.
Stop into an Aurora Co-op today and get all you need to keep your farm going. You can find an Aurora Co-op near you. Aurora Co-op is a proud supporter of all area athletes in and out of the game. Aurora Co-op, with a location near you.
Community banking is our business, and your peace of mind is our priority. At Platte Valley State Bank, we will build a financial relationship with you that will meet your needs and truly bring you peace of mind. The right community bank is pretty important, and Platte Valley State Bank is the right financial center for you. Member FDIC.
Mishko Sports Incorporated of Kearney wants you to see them before the game begins. With a great selection to choose from, get your game on at Mishko's now. In the downtown Kearney Center, Mishko's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play. Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game, or call for one of their great pizzas. You can carry out or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight. Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
The Overton Pep Band rocking in the USA on this Thursday afternoon as we get ready to start the second quarter, second and six at the Clearwater Orchard 16 for Overton. They trail 8-7, and Jared Schaefer with a long, long count. He is going to fake the handoff to one man and give it to his fullback, who dives across the 15 down to the 14-yard line.
Doug, look where Schaefer carries out that fake on the backside of that bootleg. Look who's there. No one. And I bet Glenn Snodgrass saw that as well, because
The naked bootleg.
If Schaefer keeps that ball, he could literally hop on his little bicycle and just cr- cruise into the end zone from 14 yards out here.
He could have ran over and got a hot dog from Mark Sanchez and then took it into the end zone. Now they're going to spread the field here, two wide left. It's third down and five at the 14. Toss sweep right side. Hodson has the first down inside the 10, down to the 5. He's close to the pylon, but they're going to push him out of bounds. It'll be first and goal, Overton.
Doug Brady Cox, number 72 for the Eagles, had the kick-out block on the outside. He kicked that guy out. Hodson had nothing but sideline ahead for him.
So first and goal here for the Eagles. They go no huddle. They use the quarterback sneak with Schaefer last week a couple of times. Let's see if they do it again. Schaefer, quarterback sneak over the right side. Touchdown, Overton Eagles.
Yeah, that was the play they used versus Alma. Schaefer gets the ball. He stands up, just waits for something to happen, and then he decides to go right. Okay, this is collapsing. I just follow these guys. Falls about a yard and a half into the end zone.
So with 11-11 to go here in the second quarter of play, Overton will take their first lead at 13-8. They're going to line up and go for the extra point kick as well. I think Overton, believing in their mind that they're going to just continue to run the football and be successful. The extra point kick for Hodson, plenty of leg, and this one is good. So two for two after, again, all those struggles last week. And after giving up an interception on their opening possession, Overton has settled down and scored on their next two on the ground. 11-11 to go in the second quarter of play in the D1 State Football Playoffs opening round. It's the Overton Eagles 14, the Clearwater Orchard Cyclones 8. We'll be back after this 30-second timeout.
Dr. Daniel McCallahan, DDS, is your family dentist in Overton, proud to support our area youth in and out of the games. Dr. McCallahan is keeping your smile healthy in Overton. Best of luck, Overton Eagles.
S.A. Foster Lumber in Overton welcomes contractors and do-it-yourselfers. Foster's is a complete lumber yard and carries everything you need to spruce up your home, too. From hammers to power tools, new doors, paint, hardware, windows, and much, much more. See Foster Lumber in Overton. Best of luck, athletes.
10-play, 44-yard drive. Took 3 minutes and 21 seconds, and it is now 14-8 in favor of Overton.
Yeah, that was a better. Lance Snodgrass got to feel a lot better after that drive, Doug. You got the lead back, and things are going once again where you thought they were tonight. When you come into this game, you get the home playoff game. This is a game Overton thought they could probably win.
If you're going to be champions, those first-round games are supposed to be easy wins, maybe clock-running games. Here's a little bit better kick that will be fielded back at the 8-yard line. And Strope looking for some running room. He had to catch it over his shoulder and didn't have any momentum coming forward. And they'll drop him at about the 12, first down and 10, Clearwater Orchard. And they've got to find a way to get some offense going, Tony. But much better kick that time by the Eagles.
Well, yeah, much better kick. And then down the field, big Brady Cox, number 72, flying around there grabbing Strope, just throwing him backwards.
Daddy's got a man crush on Brady Cox right now. He's making all the plays.
Yeah, he really is. He's all over the place.
Here's a defensive adjustment, and Clearwater Orchard tries to go with the quick snap, and Willis is going to take it again. His fullback, Hart, wanted to take it away from him, and he almost tackled his own quarterback. But he does pick up some nice yards across the 15 and out between the 16 and 17. We'll call it a gain of 3, second down and 7. But Overton was caught there switching, and Willis says, let me keep the ball.
Yeah, you know, Doug, and I don't know why I'm surprised to say Brady Cox's name so much here, offensively with blocks and defensively with tackles. He does lead this team with 12 tackles for loss on the year.
Second down and 7. They're going to go on balance line. The Cyclones to the right side. Quick snap. Go left side. Strope tries to get up the field. Outside is contained, and he breaks a tackle and gets across the 20-yard line. It looked like Jensen had him hemmed in, but he got away from him, and instead of losing a couple, he's going to pick up about 5, and it's going to be third down and 2.
Yeah, it's actually Schaefer, the one to finally run him out of bounds over there. And that's he did just keep spinning off of people and finally got loose for a couple.
Clearwater Orchard still looking for their first down of the ball game. Even though they're on the board, it was a 9-yard drive after an interception. So it is third down and a long 2 here at their own 21-yard line, and they will turn, and quarterback Keeper is going to try and come over the right side. Willits, again, Hart's got to either, they got to make a decision there. The last two carries, Willits has lost his balance because the ball is in the belly of his fullback, and they're going to be short. It's 4.5 yards, and they didn't get it last time. They went for it on 4th and 1 with the ball at your own 22. You probably better punt it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any decision here, Doug. can't give Overton the ball with only 20 yards to go the way they're handling your defensive line.
So they will get in punt formation for the second time. Remember, the first one was almost blocked. It was actually kind of shanked. The punter is Logan Hoffman, and here he'll get one away into that wind and good position. It bounces at the 30 and rolls inside the 20 to the 19-yard line. Very, very well placed, Tony.
Wow, it was a great kick. It was kicked away from everybody. It was just a low end-over-end kick that hit the ground, immediately shot towards the direction for the Cyclones.
Let's mark it down as a 39-yard punt, and the wind 15 to 20 mile an hour.
Guys, looking here, the longest of the year for him is only 42, so that ranks right up there, only averaging 30 yards a punt.
Hard to be a 50-yard average punter on an 80-yard field, right, Tony?
That's so true.
9:40 to go here, first half. It's Overton 14, Clearwater Orchard 8, and Overton is going to take over at their own 19-yard line. And the quarterback, Schaefer, is hit late pitch, but he gets it into the hands of Hodson, who comes across the 20 out to the 22. Great job by Clearwater Orchard to stay on that. Hart's in there as well as Schleisner.
Yeah, Doug, one of those ill-advised pitches. I think Glenn Snodgrass would rather see his quarterback just secure the football and go down, because a very risky pitch, but he got away with it there.
Well, the pitch was so close, but a good idea. If they can get that a little wider, it really wasn't contained on the outside. The pitch was so close, it gave the same guys trying to tackle Schaefer a chance to get to Hodson. Second down, 8 yards to go. This time they'll give it to Renderos, the fullback. He runs into the line and gets a couple across the 25 out to the 26-yard line. It's going to be third down. We'll call it three.
Yeah, Schaefer was lead blocker again on that play, but he kind of came through the hole and didn't know who to hit for sure, and then the play kind of went right past him.
Don't forget, coming up at the half, the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. We'll give you a look at the first half stats, and we'll take a look at all the games still to come today. It's third and a long three, so they're going to go spread formation. Schaefer out of the shotgun, looks right, throws right. It's complete and hit as he caught it, but getting the first down across the 30 and out to the 31-yard line. Why not, Jared Hodson?
Well, Hodson's so used to keeping his legs going and leaning forward. Did a good job there. He was right at the marker. It came down to the spot, but he just dove forward for about a yard and a half extra.
Eight first downs for Overton, none for Clearwater Orchard, yet it's 14-8. Eagles with the lead, 8:26 here in the first half of play. Unbalanced line again, but they're going to send two wideouts to the right side. Nobody in the backfield here for Schaefer, and it's going to be a designed quarterback keeper up the middle, and he doesn't get very far. Well contained by Clearwater Orchard up to the 36-yard line. He gets about three.
Cody's shot comes in and actually blasts him from his right-hand side. Schaefer is a quarterback. You know, you'd like to see him get on the ground before he takes a hit like that.
Well, they're at one of the soft spots on the field, too, right now, Tony. They're between the hashes, and he kind of lost his footing there a little bit. So second down and 7 yards to go for Overton. And Schaefer, as he comes up to the line of scrimmage, still checking his wristband about the play. They'll send Renderos in motion out of the backfield. Schaefer will turn, toss sweep the other way to Hodson, and he will crash across the 35 down to the 37 for a short gain, and it'll be third down and four.
Doug, I believe in the tackle, was number 42 at that time. Because they don't have a 42.
I think you're still with 49, Schleisner.
Schleisner on the outside, that's a great tackle out there, one-on-one to bring him down.
Third and four, Overton trying to find a way to move the chains out of the shotgun. A quarterback keeper, Schaefer to the outside, and a penalty flag coming down for a possible face mask as he's thrown down behind the line of scrimmage by Skyler Strope. And that's the tough one. A great defensive play, but it's probably going to be negated here by a face mask.
Well, it looks they're going to call that a personal foul, which is just a poor call because that's a 5-yard garden variety at best. He immediately got his hand off of there. It would have been a first down anyway, but why would you give him 10 extra yards?
So a face mask going to be called here on Clearwater Orchard, the 15-yard penalty. And again, these are the things that the underdogs make mistakes. They didn't get it on 4th-and-1. They gave up 2nd-and-17 and gave up a first down. And here they had him stop, but a face mask instead of making Overton punt. Now Overton has it 1st-and-10 at the Clearwater Orchard 30-yard line, leading 14-8 as we approach the 7-minute mark of the first half. That's the third penalty of the ball game on the Cyclones. Schaefer back to pass, looking for Olmstead. Underneath, it's intercepted again at the 20. And looking for some room is Willits. He's got his second pick to the 25. And he'll be brought down at the 27, and now a penalty flag as well. There are about three Eagles trying to bring him down and a couple of other Cyclones trying to make the block, but that is the second interception for Willis.
Yeah, I think they might get a block in the back here and actually back the Cyclones up further. It was on the outside. That's the second turnover of the night here for the Eagles here in the early going.
And a five-yard face mask attack onto it, so the Cyclones will have the ball first and 10 at their own 34.
Yeah, that was just a poorly thrown ball by Schaefer that time. It was not near deep enough and well behind the receiver as well.
Willits did a good job at zone coverage there. They know who to watch. There's maybe a little later on in the game, they got it to Hodson a couple of times, but maybe they'll look for Jensen the next time they get the ball down the field. So after another interception, the ball is at the Clearwater Orchard 34, first and 10, and they'll give it to their fullback Hart over the right side, and he's lucky to get a yard.
Yeah, he stood up immediately and driven backwards. Renderos are there along with Olmstead. So the whole left side, I think the defensive line, we haven't saw them play this well all year long here, Doug, and this is the third game we've done. There's just been some holes up there and some things they needed to correct. Looks like they got them corrected.
Loomis is on the board first up at O'Neill. They lead St. Mary's 8-0. Our first check of the Valentino scoreboard today. Here's an end around. Strope was in the right side, and he is smacked as he turns the corner. Strope, sometimes in the eye, sometimes in the single wing. They tried to bring him from right to left, but when he turned the corner, he got planted.
Well, that was the older Olmstead brother, Zach, making that good hit on Strope. Good to see him. Getting some of the accolades. His brothers want to catch the passes, get the attention, and Zach doing it all up on the line.
Skyler, with 2 yards, has now picked up just 23 yards on 8 carries. They're down at 6 yards to go for the Cyclones at their own 37. Back to pass, quick slant, and intercepted. Schaefer threw it right to him. 40, left side 35, 30, and he'll run out of bounds. Boy, it was supposed to be a quick little slant to Strope. And he just threw it too quick, Tony. Strope hadn't had a chance to make his break yet and threw it right to Jared Schaefer. And back in business for the Eagles at the Cyclone 27.
Yeah, you said it. The ball thrown about 3 yards in front of Strope, and Schaefer kind of just right in the breadbasket takes it back the other direction. So 2 turnovers for the Eagles, and now 1 turnover for the Cyclones.
Neither team has burned a timeout. Still plenty of time in the first half, 5:32 to go. Overton up 14-8 in a big break. That's the first Cyclone turnover. Schaefer going to give it to his fullback and then take it back. Wants to go around the right side. Gets to the 25 and jumps forward to the 24. Getting a lot of short gains. Overton has not popped off many of those 6, 7, 8 yard runs. They're keeping it steady, 2, 3, 4 yards a pop.
Yeah, Doug, I think that's what you're starting to see. He's probably trying to wear him down in the second half. Just that straight-ahead attack. But, yeah, you expect Hodson to break one here shortly.
It is second down. We'll call it 7, just inside the 25-yard line. 7 in the box, left side toss, and being stood up, Hodson. Boy, they're working hard over there on the Cyclone sideline, and there's Schleisner again. Great tackle. That's a tough, tough young man, and not much on the play, maybe a yard for Hodson.
Yeah, Schleisner comes to that middle linebacker position, fights all the way to the outside, and just drills Hodson.
4:40 in counting to go here in the first half. A 5-yard Jared Hodson run, a 1-yard Jared Schaefer quarterback sneak. And those are the 2 scores for Overton. 2-yard run by Skyler Strope after a interception took it down to the 9. The Cyclones score. Third down, we'll call it 6. Man split out wide to the right. Slot right. Schaefer wants to run option. Pitches it to Hodson. Hodson turns the corner. First down and more. Across the 20, the 15, and down to the 14-yard line. Move the chains.
Now Tanner Hart had the opportunity in the backfield and tried to come in low on Hodson. Hodson had none of it. Got the corner and a good pickup for the Eagles.
That 11-yard gain will mark it at the Cyclone 13-yard line. You're listening to the state football playoffs on KXPN-AM Kearney. Overton and Elm Creek. 4:06 to go here in the first half, 14-8. Overton with the lead. First and 10 at the Cyclone 13. Ball on the far hash. Toss sweep to the wide side. Hodson hit the backfield. No, that's not going to be Hodson. It's going to be Trey Colburn, and he is drilled and marked back at the 13, 16-yard line.
Strope was there. Willits was there, along with Schleisner also there. Just too many white jerseys, nowhere for him to go.
Well, poor Trey Colburn's going to say, you know, it's okay over here on the sideline. He has not had luck either time, and he comes right out, and they bring Renderos in. I don't know if they're trying to set something up for later, Tony, or what the story is, just giving Hodson a breather. Usually when they give Hodson a breather, they just give it to Renderos. It's going to be second down and 13. Toss sweep right side Hodson. There is all him, no blockers, and he is going to be across the 15 down to the 11-yard line. Hemingway over there on the tackle.
Another good kick-out block on that outside by 72 Brady Cox. He's the one that play got underway at all.
4-yard gain. It'll be third down. We'll call it 8 yards to go at the Clearwater Orchard 12. This is a big, big possession. If the Cyclones still want to have some thoughts of winning this football game, they need to keep Overton out of the end zone here as we're down to 2:50 to go in the first half. Two cracks at it for the Eagles. Ball on the far hash. Two wideouts to the right side. Nobody in the backfield for Schaefer. Jared, long count. Now he'll send a man in motion, Renderos, from right to left. And we're going to get a penalty flag for delay of game. As it's thrown by the back judge, this should be a delay of game penalty. And Overton setting there on three timeouts, Tony.
Yeah, you know what? That's one of those that you're going to have to say, as a coach, you got to take responsibility for that one and say, my bad, guys. We put you in a bad situation there. You back them up even further. You had a 28-yard field goal if you get nothing on that last play, and now it's a 33-yard field goal.
So it will be third down and 13, back to the 17-yard line. Trips to the right. Now they send Renderos in motion. Looks like the same play. Schaefer back to pass. Looks right, throws right, and it is complete, breaking a tackle at the 13, down to the 10, and laying his shoulder short of the first down at the 7-yard line. It will be fourth down, and Jensen, they throw it to for the first time tonight. He made a nice, nice move, but it's going to be fourth down and 3.
They talked about Jacob Jensen being one of those kids that's really improved.
They're going to go no huddle, Tony. They're going to give it to Hodson. There's a penalty flag. He's going to get the first down. He's going to get the touchdown, but I don't think this is going to count. They tried to go with that quick hurry-up offense, but there's a penalty flag on the field, and Hodson better not change shoes too quick.
Yeah, I think they got illegal participation maybe on the Cyclones, Doug.
Oh, well, that could be the case. Maybe they do get the touchdown, okay?
Yeah, the last guy is just going off. That'd be 9.
Too many men on the field on Clearwater Orchard.
That would be cheating. It's illegal.
So the touchdown will be good. And that will line up the extra point. The touchdown is good. So it makes the score 20-8 with a minute 55 to go here. Touchdown run that time for Jared Hodson. And now he'll line up for the extra point. The snap is good, placement good. The kick is on the way, and the kick is good. So 1:55 to go here in the first half. And after falling behind 8-0, the Eagles have scored 3 in a row. Overton 21, Clearwater Orchard 8. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
Stop into an Aurora Co-op today and get all you need to keep your farm going. You can find an Aurora Co-op near you. Aurora Co-op is a proud supporter of all area athletes in and out of the game. Aurora Co-op, with a location near you.
Nebraska Farm Bureau offers a number of great benefits. From its member group rates with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska to the most visible economic benefit through Farm Bureau Financial Services. Stop by your Buffalo County Farm Bureau office today.
Doug Duda along with Tony Davis, our producer-engineer Merritt Lawson from Overton as we are nearing halftime. And Overton has just put a lot more fans of the Eagles at ease here as they are up 21-8, punching it in from 7 yards out. Is Jared Hodson.
Well, I give, a number you haven't heard of all night long has been number 22, a relatively new number that you hear, but Jacob Jensen is really the one that made that happen. He could have ran out of bounds, got out of bounds, and stopped much, much short of that first down. He dropped his shoulder and just hammered somebody over there by that sideline.
And now they'll put the ball on the tee and kick it away. And again, Tony, the stats so far of the half, Clearwater Orchard does not have a first down. And the boot is away, and there's a nice kick, and that is going to sail into the end zone. But it's coming back. There is a penalty flag at the point of the kick. That usually means somebody took off downfield too soon, and they'll have to kick it again.
Well, it's an easy decision to make them kick it again. They haven't got the ball near that far. Of course, did have a 5-yard penalty that they assessed on the kickoff, I assume.
That is correct for the illegal participation. That's why it sailed into the end zone. And they have no choice. They have to move him back because the play was blown dead. So they'll tee it up at the 30. And we'll try again. 1:55 to go here in the first half. As always, a big thank you to the many fine sponsors allowing us to bring you high school football action. Tony and I, after this game, will head south down to Arapahoe, where maybe we'll actually see some of the white stuff, Tony, as they take on Amherst tonight at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I hope it stays away, but they have to play in some conditions that are unfavorable.
It's just going to be cooler. I think the precipitation is supposedly done for this time around as the kick is away, and it's going to go out of bounds. And if Clearwater Orchard wants to make them kick it again, they will. And you know what? Make them kick it again. That'll be the third time the kick team's had to run down. You know where the ball's going. Strope hasn't exerted any energy watching those first two kicks. So they're going to back him up, make him kick it again. And again, the special teams, always a big part of eight-man football. We have seen some teams that do very, very well with kick and punt returns, and they're going to back him up, make him kick it again.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy decision for the Cyclone coaching staff. Like I know on that last possession when Overton scored, they run that hurry out and they want to get different players in there down around the goal line. They just had too many players on there. Watch Saturday. That's been a big point of concern last year over Bo Pelini and this Baylor. Baylor shifts players around in their offense.
Now a line drive kick, and it's going to be picked up at the 19-yard line. Teal's going to bring it up to the 20, 25, 30, and he'll be pushed out of bounds, and a late flag, a hit out of bounds. A hit out of bounds by Overton. That's 15 yards, and the Cyclones will get the ball in Overton territory near the 35.
Well, they're going to call the 15-yard penalty. It was Jacob Olmstead that had him around the waist. It was one of those deals where his momentum, he carried it on about a yard and a half out of bounds and threw the guy to the ground when he just let him go. There would have been no flag.
It is the fifth penalty, against Overton. And Tony, again, special teams. You don't kick that ball out of bounds, and Clearwater Orchard probably doesn't have it at 35 of Overton. So 1:49 to go here in the first half. Cyclones trying to answer back before halftime and make it a one-score game. They'll go with the single wing, Strope really in tight, and they will hand it to him from right to left. Has a hole. He breaks a tackle, 30, 25, tries to cut back to the middle of the field, loses his footing, but the first down of the game for Clearwater Orchard to the 28-yard line.
The first really good-looking play of the game for Clearwater Orchard offensively. Strope had a good hole over the left-hand side. There's a blown assignment over there and a good pickup on the play.
I misspoke, not the 28th, the 23-yard line. The biggest offensive play of the ball game for Clearwater Orchard. They've got all their timeouts, clock running. First and 10 at the 23 of Overton. Quick snap, Strope over the left side, and his linemen do a good job and move the pile down to the 26. And the clock continues to run. He's going to pick up about 2.5 yards. It'll be second down, officially 8.
Doug, I know they get all 3 timeouts here. You know, now's the time I think you want to go to the air and try to surprise this Eagle defense, don't you?
You want to make sure you get in the end zone, whatever way that is. Second down and 8 yards to go at the 21. And they'll hand it to Strope, short side again. Cuts it back up inside. Nice move. Gets to the 15, down to the 14. That's a nice cutback by Skyler Strope. He's going to be short of the first down by 0.5 yard. And they're going to hurry up. I think I'd burn the timeout here, but third down and less than 1 yard. Strope picks up 7, and now they will call that timeout. So the first timeout of the ball game by either team will be called by Clearwater Orchard. When we come back, it'll be 3rd and 1 Cyclones at the 14-yard line of Overton. 49 seconds to go in the first half. Overton 21, Clearwater Orchard 8. We'll be back after this timeout.
Qdoba knows how to make a burrito stand out above the crowd, starting with a thin shell always steamed, then piled high with meat or chicken, rice with lime and cilantro, cheese, and all the other fillings you want. Qdoba on the corner of 25th and 2nd in Kearney, proud supporter of all the area teams.
Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. Eustace Body Shop. That's who we are.
Doug Duda and Tony Davis back with you here in the opening round of the state football playoffs from Overton. It is Overton 21, Clearwater Orchard 8, 49 seconds to go before the half. Third and less than 1 yard for the Cyclones at the Overton 14-yard line. Really, really need to get into the end zone here before the half. if they want to stay in this ball game. Unbalanced, strong to the right side, fumbled the snap, and Overton's got it. Trey Colburn, they wanted to go quick quarterback sneak over the left side, and the second turnover for Clearwater Orchard. The teams are even in turnovers at two apiece, and that was an easy one. He just didn't have the ball. He was moving before he had the football. It just laid there on the ground, and even when Colburn covered the fumble, nobody knew it. There was nobody near him. It was all Trey.
Well, that's a backbreaker if you're the Cyclones, and that now you know that you got halftime coming, and then Overton's going to get the ball back first. So you haven't exactly been able to slow down that much the last couple of possessions. They've had the ball. Going to go back to the first possession of the game. Where did they try and run? They ran over the left-hand side. They didn't have luck. Well, they changed up a blocking combination or something because it's much better success on this last series.
47 seconds. They're just simply going to go up the middle to Hodson, and he is going to be brought down at the 17-yard line, a gain of four. I don't think Overton has any visions of trying to do anything here. They're going to probably snap it one more time, and Jared, with a solid first half, have got him at 87 yards so far on the ground as we tick under 30 seconds to go.
Yeah, you don't see much hurry here out of the Eagles. I think they're content to go to halftime with a score 21-8.
Coming up, the Ravenna Sanitation halftime report. As Overton comes up over the ball, Schaefer will take the snap here, and he will turn and hand it off over the right side, and picking up a couple down to the 19 before Colburn is shoved backwards, and that'll be the final play here of the first half as Colburn picks up two. So Overton, after a couple of early turnovers, able to come back and get one of their own late in this first half and to keep the Cyclones of Clearwater Orchard out of the end zone. A key fumble recovery on third and one at the 14 by Trey Colburn. And at the half, in the opening round of the D1 2009 football playoffs, the Overton Eagles 21, the Clearwater Orchard Cyclones 8. And we will be back with all the stats and a breakdown of the first half as the 2009 playoffs continue on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report in 1 minute.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in an hour.
Don't let trash take up all your time. Ravenna Sanitation takes trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in their game. Whether you're running your business or running up the score, Dr. Wilkinson provides comprehensive care in the areas of total joint replacement surgery, sports medicine, trauma, and general orthopedics. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
L&S Tire and Towing in Elm Creek, along with J&L Sinclair and Overton, would like to take this time to wish the area teams best of luck in the game. For everything you need to keep your vehicle on the road, L&S Tire and Towing and J&L Sinclair has it.
AgriServices is a proud sponsor of high school sports. AgriServices identifies their intention to provide staff and services that continually exceed customer expectations. Consider AgriServices as your service partner. AgriServices, proud to be Agra.
And welcome back to Overton, Nebraska. Doug Duda and Tony Davis here on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is our treasure, serving Buffalo County for business or residential service. Ravenna Sanitation, your trash collection connection. Find them in your local Yellow Pages. At the half, the Overton Eagles 21 and the Clearwater Orchard Cyclones 8. I still want to call them the Orioles. Orchard has a school, they're the Orioles, and Clearwater has a school, and they're the Cardinals, but together they are the Cyclones, and they trail. They had the first score of the football game, an interception, the first of two interceptions by Calvin Willits. They took it down to the 9, and Skylar Strope took it in on third down from 2 yards out, but then Overton scored on their next two possessions to take a 14-8 lead, and with the help of a interception by Jared Schaefer, were able to march at the 27 yards to go up 21-8. Clearwater Orchard, right before the half, took it down to the 14, but fumbled the snap on third and one. Trey Colburn covered it, and then they kneeled. Well, they handed it off twice and went into halftime here, 21-8. And, Tony, only one first down for Clearwater Orchard here in the first half. They're just not moving the ball on the ground. But, yeah, they were one play away from being down one score.
Well, you know, Doug, you go back, look at several different things in this game. One is field position. They've had pretty good field position to start with because the kicking game for Overton has not been good as far as kickoffs go. They get the ball in pretty good field position. They didn't do anything until that last possession. I go back to the first possession of the ball game. They tried to take it over the left-hand side. They saw something on film they thought they could exploit. Well, it didn't work. It blew up in their face on the first possession. Well, I don't know if they changed the blocking combination, or if Overton is running a little bit different defense, but it certainly looks like they've got it working now over the left-hand side. I fully expect them to come out and immediately attack that left-hand side and see if, well, they've got to stop Overton first. Overton's getting the ball first. But when they get the ball back on offense, they're going to attack that left-hand side because Strope, that was too easy for him to get down the field like that.
Well, and you take a look at it's a double-edged sword right here. Overton doesn't want to show too much if they can win this ball game, this playoff game, by staying pretty vanilla. Another thing that's going to be interesting here, no matter who wins this ball game, and if especially if it's Overton, they can go scout tomorrow because their opponents on the other side of the bracket had their game postponed today with Garden County and Crawford, and so just travel out to Oshkosh, and Glenn's going to be able to watch that game live tomorrow.
Yeah, perfect. And a nice little road trip on a Friday. You go out there and see some snow and whatever else. But, yeah, you get a first-hand opportunity to see those two teams. Now, Overton will host this game. It should Garden County win. They'll host the second round and be right here back here in the home confines. But what if Crawford wins? If Crawford wins, there's
news. Yeah, well, Crawford's been out here a couple of times, and Overton has been able to take care of the crew out there, the Rams, but we'll see what happens as Overton leading the game here 21-8. As we said, there have been some games today, all C&D scheduled to play today, but some of the games have been postponed. That Crawford-Garden County game postponed to Friday at 2 o'clock Central Time. Here's what the latest was from the Nebraska School Activities Association as of noon today. In Class C1, Valentine and Gordon Rushville postponed until tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Boone Central and Shadron postponed until 5 o'clock. Battle Creek and Hastings St. Cecilia, they are playing tonight, but they've moved the game to Hastings College and will start 30 minutes later at 6:30. In C2, Cross County and Sutherland, they are underway this afternoon. They started at 1:30, and the Perkins County North Platte St. Pat's game has been postponed until Friday at 7 o'clock. Again, not necessarily the home team that has the problem, but the traveling team in a Grant. In Class D1, Crawford, Garden County, we told you, postponed until 2 tomorrow. Callaway and Maxwell, they are just getting ready to kick off. They moved that up to a 3 o'clock kickoff today in Maxwell. In D2, Potter Dix is at Pleasanton. That game moved to tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and you'll hear it on our sister station, 98.9 FM KKPR. Elsewhere in D2, Lynch and Mullen has been moved to Friday at 5 o'clock, and Spalding Academy has been moved with their game at Hyannis to Friday at 4:30. SEM at Hayes Center, they are playing today, but they've moved that up to a 5 o'clock kickoff. This is the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. 21-8, Overton leads Clearwater Orchard, and we're back with more in a minute.
Hello?
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, asking you to describe us in just 3 words.
3 words. How about awesome, cool, and awesome?
Visit Builders to make your project awesome, cool, and awesome.
For more than a decade, ENT Physicians of Kearney have provided the highest quality care to patients with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. Doctors Owen and Conley, caring for our community one patient at a time, were ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Community banking is our business, and your peace of mind is our priority. At Platte Valley State Bank, we will build a financial relationship with you that will meet your needs and truly bring you peace of mind. The right community bank is pretty important, and Platte Valley State Bank is the right financial center for you. Member FDIC.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in an hour.
Don't let trash take up all your time. Ravenna Sanitation takes trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Doug Gooden and Tony Davis back with you here on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Let's take a look at what is going on today in the state football playoffs for teams around the area. In Class C1, St. Paul is playing at Pierce this evening at 6:30. Down the road, Minden is at Gothenburg. That game being played tonight at 6 o'clock. That's a rematch of a game from earlier this year that Gothenburg won. Mitchell is playing at Broken Bow this afternoon. Cozad has made the long, long trip out to Crofton. They're about ready to kick it off at 3 o'clock. Grand Island Central Catholic is playing Fillmore Central in a rematch tonight at Memorial Stadium in GI. That gets underway at 7. And as we said, Battle Creek and Hastings St. Cecilia. That game has been moved to Hastings College at 6:30 tonight. They're just getting underway on Classic Hits 98.9 FM, KKPR, with Elm Creek hosting Randolph just about 8 miles, 6 miles, 8 miles maybe to the football field from here. Randolph and Elm Creek. Elm Creek, the number one seed in the West. Kearney Catholic at Ravenna. You'll hear that on 98.9 FM tonight with pregame at 6, kickoff at 6:30. Tony, I guess just a quick conversation about that. Jared Reinke will play tonight in the football game, and he has hardly played at all since week 3 of the season against Donovan Trumbull. But in week 2, he was the story as he lit up Ravenna and still the most shocking score of the entire high school football season from our area. Kearney Catholic 35, Ravenna nothing. Ravenna was ranked as high as second in the state. Everybody was saying, hey, these guys got a chance to go all the way to the finals. Nobody is saying that anymore. Nobody has spoken about Ravenna being a favorite to get to the West Finals. I think they've got a chance, but Reinke is back, really playing for the first time. Ravenna has some guys banged up. This could be closer again than some people think, but again, I don't know anybody that's giving Kearney Catholic a chance to win this football game.
Yeah, nobody is. It's 35-0. You get your quarterback back that was such a star in that game. Maybe that's enough confidence to tip the scales a little bit. You mentioned Ravenna's offensive line, defensive line. Brett Douglas, I believe, a torn ACL. There's another lineman up there that's out for this game. Michael Bone may be out for this game. There's a couple of big, big linemen both ways for the Blue Jays that are not able to go. But Ravenna and Mr. Crowell somehow seem to have an answer, and they've advanced in these playoffs before. Yeah, they're the favorite tonight, and I think they get it done. And you saw the hub projection by Chris Bazinet. I believe he says 35-0. I don't know that you could go 70 points from where it was earlier in the year, but nonetheless, yeah, not many people think this will even be close.
Well, and you take a look at Ravenna's situation, and we talk about this all the time. Don't ever, as athletes, parents, coaches, say, well, next year. We're going to be better next year. Next year will be our year. Because that's where Ravenna was. Crowell, the All-State quarterback, the preseason All-State quarterback. They were lined up. Then they lose. Now they've got some kids hurt. They're not the football team. You just don't know how things are going to progress throughout the year. They're still a very good football team, but there's no guarantees how far they're going to make it. And probably Hardington Cedar Catholic's waiting for whoever wins that football game, and that's going to be as tough a second-round game as anybody in our area draws. So that's tonight, 6:30 kickoff on KKPR. Also, Blue Hill will take care of Southwest at 5:30. In D1 action, and there are just a ton of teams from the area outside of this ball game. Franklin is at Giltner at 7. You can hear it on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. Axtell is at Burwell. Now, that game is at 6 o'clock, and if you're in the North Country, a little north of here, I know Walt Smith up at KNLV and Ward's going to be doing that Axtell at Burwell ball game tonight at 6 o'clock. That's 103.9 on your FM dial. Elsewhere, the Callaway-Maxwell game getting underway just at this hour. Tony and I are going to head south, Amherst-Arapahoe at 7. We'll talk more about that in a moment. And a pair of 4 o'clock games, Eustis Farnham at Silver Lake. You can hear on ESPN 1550, and Alma is at Palmer at 4 o'clock this afternoon as well. Tony, the Amherst-Arapahoe game that we're going to do tonight, Arapahoe crushed Amherst 48-16 last week, and they did it pretty simple. They ran toss sweep about every time, and they just kept running over the defense of Amherst, and that's hard to fix in 1 week. A rematch immediately. Last week it was at Amherst. This week it's at Arapahoe.
Yeah, one of those things I hate to see, Doug, is that immediate rematch. You just play the game. Yeah, you know the personnel on both sides. I think it would be real easy to flip an 11 seed with a 12. I don't think there's that much difference. Make them go one way and then bring the 12 seed to Arapa. But nonetheless, they are going to play it again. It sounds like it was too easy last week. Will it be that easy again? Hopefully Ron Evans can concoct some kind of a defense to better play that toss sweep and figure some things out.
Well, and it's interesting because this D1 bracket pretty wide open. The winner of that most likely gets Maxwell, although Callaway, even though they're 4-4, a couple close losses, and they've played pretty well this year. And in D2, we've told you that SEM is at Hayes Center today. Also going on, Ansley will be at Sargent. There's a perennial rivalry matchup. Sargent, another team that looked like they could be as good as anybody, and they've lost a quarterback. They've got a running back. They've banged them up. They've had to move some guys up there for Coach Mike Kozel, and then you got Dan Moore on the other side. And they had a huge win over Loomis last week just to assure themselves that they could get it into the playoffs. They needed that win. And now will they be able to get things pointed the right direction against Sargent? Loomis at last check was up on O'Neill St. Mary's, and we'll get a score update on that in just a moment. And the Potterdick's Pleasanton game has been moved to tomorrow at 4, and you'll hear it on 98.9 KKPR. Class A and B also gets underway tomorrow. Don't forget Grand Island is at Omaha North at 7 o'clock in Class A action. And in Class B action, Lexington is at Gehring at 3, Alliance at Aurora at 6, Seward at Adams Central at 7. Here it's Overton 21 and Clearwater Orchard 8 at the half. We'll come back and look at the stats right after this on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report.
Age 50 or older, hey, is there any benefit of being mature? You bet there is. At Barney Insurance, we have programs especially designed just for you. Did you know that you are a low risk? Mm-hmm. Call us at Barney Insurance, 237-2222.
Qdoba knows how to make a burrito stand out above the crowd. Starting with a thin shell always steamed, then piled high with meat or chicken, rice with lime and cilantro, cheese, and all the other fillings you want. Qdoba on the corner of 25th and 2nd in Kearney. Proud supporter of all the area teams.
Overton Sand and Gravel is proud to support all the area high school athletes this year. Call Overton Sand and Gravel for your commercial or residential concrete and other rock. Overton Sand and Gravel, serving Overton and the surrounding areas.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in an hour.
Don't let trash take up all your time. Ravenna Sanitation takes trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Back on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report, here's a look at your first half statistics for the Clearwater Orchard Cyclones. I have Skyler Strope with 11 carries, 44 yards and a touchdown. Tanner Hart, 2 carries for 2 yards. And Calvin Willits, 4 carries for 8 yards. 17 carries, 54 yards on the ground. Willits has put the ball in the air twice, incomplete and interception. So 54 total yards of offense, resulting in one first down for Clearwater Orchard. 2 punts of 23 and 39 yards, 2 turnovers, an interception and a fumble, 3 penalties. For 40 yards, the touchdown coming after an interception. Strope took it in from 2 yards out, the first score of the game.
Doug Strope, 44 yards. How many on that last possession? A pretty good chunk of it, was it not?
Looks like 21 of them.
Yeah, so darn near half of that production came on the last possession when they took it down, and then they fumbled on third and one.
Well, Jared Hodgson, no surprise that he's been the workhorse here in the first half, Tony, for Overton.
No, you expect that if you're Clearwater Orchard to get a healthy dose of Jared Hodgson. They're going to keep handing the ball out to him. And then, you know what, I think they've got some, they're finding out down the field, Olmstead can get open along with Jensen. So I'd expect a little bit more passing maybe the second half as Glenn tries to open it up just a little bit and put this one away.
Let's take a look at Overton's numbers. I've got Hodgson for 18 carries, 87 yards, and, we better clip that up to 94 yards and a touchdown. 2 touchdowns in the ball game, 19 carries, 94 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Jared Hodgson. Michael Renderos, 2 carries, 8 yards. Trey Colburn, 3 carries, which has worked out to 0 yards. Jared Schaefer, 7 carries, 25 yards, and 1 touchdown here in the football game. Unofficially, 31 rushing attempts already in the first half for Overton, 127 yards. That's a lot of carries in the first half.
Well, you think that, but they do that every week, Doug. You know, it's one of those things. I fully expect the second half, just run, run, run. That's what they expect to do. That's what they do.
And through the air, Schaefer has put it up 6 times. He's completed 3 of those, but he also has 2 interceptions. So 3 of 6, 2 interceptions, 31 yards through the air, 127 on the ground, 158 yards of total offense, resulting in 10 first downs. No punts yet in the ball game. They have turned it over twice on those pair of interceptions. 5 penalties, though, against Overton for 40 yards, Tony, something they'll want to clear up. And the touchdowns, Jared Hodgson from 5 and 7 yards out. Jared Schaefer, a 1-yard quarterback sneak. So at the half, it is Overton 21 and Clearwater Orchard 8. You've been listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report for quality, dependable trash hauling service. For your farm, home, or business, contact the professionals at Ravenna Sanitation. Overton will get the ball to start the second half when we come back.
Is this the year for a brand new affordable, yes, I said affordable home? Or maybe you'd rather invest in a new fifth-wheel travel trailer. We've got you covered both ways. We're Eagle Crest Homes and Campers, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
AgriServices is a proud sponsor of high school sports. AgriServices identifies their intention to provide staff and services that continually exceed customer expectations. Consider AgriServices as your service partner. AgriServices, proud to be Agra.
Doug Duda along with Tony Davis as Overton gets ready to take the ball. And don't forget that we've got this Valentino's score update. Valentino's Grand Italian Buffet. Check it out for lunch tomorrow. And in the first quarter, just wrapping things up in the first quarter, Loomis is already up on O'Neill St. Mary's 22-6. The winner of that game most likely gets Pleasanton next week, the second round of the playoffs on Wednesday. Tony, Overton's get a chance really here on the first possession of the second half to put it away.
Yeah, they do. We'll see how the, once again, you know, you expect the kickoff was so good the first half. Well, it was that bad the second, start the second half. It goes immediately out of bounds to the left.
So Overton will have the choice here of taking the ball or making the Cyclones kick it again. And since they had to kick it again a couple times, they're going to make Clearwater Orchard. Well, no, they're not. It looks like they're going to change, and they're just going to go ahead and take the football. Clearwater Orchard wasn't really sure what was going on there, late getting their defense on the field. First down and 10 at the 25-yard line here for Overton. And Trey Colburn comes off the field, and they broke the huddle with too many men. There should have been a flag here on Overton. The official didn't see it, Tony. So first down. There are only seven guys out there. They turn, they hand it off to Hodgson over the left side, and he's going to get out to about the 28. How many blue jerseys are out there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, they did have 8. So Colburn had to get off and probably got lucky that they weren't flagged for too many men on the field.
Yeah, some indecision there to get things started for the Eagles. They'll take it up. They'll be 2nd and 7, and we'll see if they can wear it. I think it's wearing down people. That's kind of Glenn's mantra.
So after getting 11 first downs there in the first half, 3 yards for Hodgson. He's at 97, and it'll be 2nd down and 7 yards to go. And they'll give it to Jared on the toss sweep right side. Just follows his blockers across the 30. The ball is loose, and it looks like they cover it back out at the 33-yard line. So the ball came loose, and it's picked up there by number 46, Preston Meyer, I think, covered it, Tony.
Well, I don't know if it's Preston Meyer or Hodgson right there also kind of gathered the ball back in to where there was blue jerseys.
So a gain of 5 on the play, and that will bring up 3rd down and 2 out of a 9 formation here for the Eagles. Very tight formation, 7 men in the box anticipating the run. Long count by Schaefer, sends a man in motion, hands it to the right side. Hodgson crushes through the line and has the first down. Down to the 39, and it's going to be 1st down and 10.
Yeah, we saw these 8-man teams all year long, Doug, load up against the run and get people up close. I think that might have been as close all year. We saw 7 people. They're at about 1.5 yards on the line of scrimmage.
So Clearwater Orchard, they're going to have to start gambling, and you know what happens eventually. Overton's going to bust a big one, you would think. 1st down and 10, ball at their own 39-yard line. One man split out wide to the right side, and Schaefer is going to hand it off to his fullback and nowhere to go on that play for Trey Colburn. Going to be 2nd and 10.
Yeah, Schaefer wishing he had that one back because they collapsed on that fullback. If he'd have pulled the ball out of there, there'd have been a big, big play for the Eagles on the outside.
Tony, kind of assessed, though, 4 plays to Colburn, and they've all been used to, well, throw them away. None of them have worked.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe the Cyclones saw something on film that he was a big key, and they're taking him out of this ball game, but it does seem like a lot of people are keying on him.
2nd down, I'm going to call it 10, just short of midfield. And this time they'll give it to Renderos, and Renderos hits across midfield for about 3, and it's going to be 3rd and 7.
Yeah, once again, you think as wide open as that outside was, he'd have pulled the ball out of there and ran the option to the left. But now you put yourself probably one of those passing downs. Let's see if they can find Jensen or Olmstead.
21-8, Overton with the lead. 9.5 to go here in the third quarter of play. It's the opening possession of the second half. And 3rd and 7 facing the Eagles at the Clearwater Orchard 38-yard line. No wideouts. Schaefer will turn, fake the handoff, pitch it to the wide side, trying to get Hodgson outside, finds a crease, and he's going to drag 2 tacklers with him for a 1st down across the 30 to the 29-yard line. And again, a big conversion for Overton when they needed it. Pickup of 9.
Ethan Thiel that was 49, Aaron Sleisner. Just drug them about 5 yards. Now, that should have been well stopped, well short of the 1st down.
And again, no huddle, so Overton quick snap, and they will give it to the fullback up the middle, down to the 25-yard line, squirting through there. Hodgson again, they move him all over the place. Sometimes he's the I-back, sometimes he's a slot back. He'll split out wide, and a few times today they're actually lining him up as a fullback, and that has worked. Not for huge plays, but hey, 4 yards on first, he'll take that.
no doubt about it, such a quick hitter. And once again, he's one tackle from going the distance.
Second down and 6 yards to go. Schaefer on an end around this time and all kinds of room, untouched for a touchdown. Olmstead takes it in. Touchdown, Overton, 27-8. And that's what you've been talking about pretty much the whole ball game, Tony, is that they're overloading. And they had no idea that Olmstead had the football, stroked the safety, went all the way to the other end following the momentum of the offense and where the running backs were going. Touchdown for Jacob Olmstead.
Well, I just noticed how wide over the backside of those plays have been. I know Glenn had to see that, and the spotters up here had to see that.
Well, they dropped the snap, but Jensen's going to pick it up, run towards the right side, and he will not get in for the two-point conversion. And the tackle was made that time by Ethan Teal. He just bobbled the snap, so for the first time, the conversion is no good. But on the end around by Olmstead, Overton now leads Clearwater Orchard 27-8 with 8:25 to go in the third quarter of this D1 state playoff opening round game on KXPN Kearney.
Is this the year for a brand new affordable, yes, I said affordable home? Or maybe you'd rather invest in a new fifth-wheel travel trailer. We've got you covered both ways. We're Eagle Crest Homes and Campers, a subsidiary of Chief Industries. S.A. Foster Lumber in Overton welcomes contractors and do-it-yourselfers. Foster's is a complete lumber yard and carries everything you need to spruce up your home, too. From hammers to power tools, new doors, paint, hardware, windows, and much, much more. See Foster Lumber in Overton. Best of luck, athletes.
Is injury keeping you on the sidelines? Let Drs. Dan Slosky, Heber Crockett, and John Wright help you get back in the game. Fellowship trained in sports medicine, they can provide the necessary treatment and rehabilitation to get you on the field or court. New West Sports Medicine at 3219 Central Avenue, Suite 102, Kearney. For the athlete and all of us.
And welcome back to Overton. I want to thank Athletic Director Jay Stair and all the fine folks here for their hospitality as we are opening up the 2009 state football playoffs. And a little precipitation continues to fall and blow around more so here at Overton. And again, as the Eagles kick it off very short, taking it at the 19, quickly up to the 25-yard line. Hart trying to get to the right side, breaks a tackle, 30 and up to the 32-yard line. He was close. And again, decent field position here for the Cyclones. But, Tony, they have not been able to take advantage of good field position with just one first down in the game.
No, they haven't. Doug, immediately where he tried to make that cutback was where? It was right between the hashes. And that is footing is not good out there right now in this ballgame. It's gotten torn up pretty good, continues to be torn up. He tried to make a nice cutback, but his leg just came out from under him.
So on first down and 10, Clearwater Orchard, Strope. Looks left side, and there's nowhere to go because Brady Cox says, I am hungry, and swallows him up for a loss. And now they're going to throw a late flag for tackling him after the play. They never brought him to the ground, and so they blew the whistle, and that's exactly the time they brought him to the ground.
Yeah, that's Glenn Snodgrass isn't happy with his call, and probably should have been more whistles blown. He was going backwards about 4 yards, and then instead of letting him go, and when they let him go, he went immediately to the ground. That's when the flag came out. So it'll be an automatic first down here, and that's a big, big 15-yard penalty here in the 8-man game.
So the sixth penalty on the Overton Eagles, second late hit of the ball game for 55 yards, and that'll move the ball all the way down to the Overton, 36-yard line, first down and 10. Again, Clearwater Orchard's got to find a way to get in the end zone. They found some folks moving, but no flags. As Strope comes around the left side, Clearwater Orchard seems to be battling a little harder than what we saw, or at least maybe they're winning more of those battles here in the last couple of drives of the football game. And Strope's going to pick up nearly 6 yards. It's going to be second and a long four.
Well, Strope had about 2 yards, and Jacob Olmstead comes from his backside. Just hammers him and knocks him forward for about 4 yards. That's where they mark him down at.
Well, the first half, it was just like all the linemen came together and somebody fell down. Now you actually see some movement. Back to pass is Willis, looking to go to the end zone. It's a jump ball. The defender falls down, and the ball does not get to the intended receiver in Ethan Teal. Should have been a touchdown after the defender fell down, but he couldn't readjust and get to the ball. Incomplete, and still no yards through the air for Clearwater Orchard.
Well, Doug, it was Jacob Jensen, the one trying to turn around and make a play, but once again, right between the hash marks, footing went out from underneath him and had an opportunity there for the Cyclones to score, and balls came up just about 3 yards short of him.
7.5 to go here, quarter three, Overton 27, and Clearwater Orchard 8. On third down, they give it to Strope, right up the middle, penalty flag as he is stacked up short of the first down and driven backwards. Boy, we are seeing some hitting here in the third quarter, and this flag is going to be holding on Clearwater Orchard. Well, let's see what Overton decides to do. It would be fourth and about three inside the 30, which means they'd have to go for it, so I assume they're going to take this penalty, and that is what they'll do.
Yeah, that's exactly. They'll back them up to 10 yards and hope to hold them. If it had been an automatic, you'd have went for it. Fourth and three, really not all that much to gain by punting the ball.
7:25 to go here and counting in the third quarter, and that's going to bring up third down and 15 now for Clearwater Orchard. Ball right at midfield, trailing 27-8. Now they go spread formation. Wildcat, Strope will take the snap here, and Strope looking to throw. Has all day, now rolls to his right, nobody open, he's going to have to get rid of it, and he is going to throw it out of bounds, incomplete. Good coverage as he tried to get it down to Teal. Good coverage and good defense, not being fooled. They used it earlier on the two-point conversion, that's the only other time they went to that Wildcat spread.
Probably wish he had to do it over there. It was just third down, but everybody was covered so well, Strobe gets outside there. With a pretty good opportunity just to punch the ball. Nobody expecting a punt there on the outside.
So the third punt of the ball game is what they will line up for here as Ethan Teal will take the snap about 11 yards deep, boot it very high up into that wind. It'll be taken at the 11-yard line, and coming all the way to the other end of the field is Olmstead. He is going to be drugged down at the 16-yard line by the punter, Teal.
That Teal runs him down. Now he's one step away from a big, big return. As there was nobody, they just had a wall set up for him.
Well, he was one step away from stepping out of bounds on the other side of the football field, and he comes all the way to the Overton sideline, and as he tries to make the turn, they trip him up. It's going to be a return of about 5 yards from the 12 to the 17, and Overton takes over first and 10 here, leading at 27-8. Elm Creek has scored on Randolph, 7-0. It is Loomis 22, O'Neill St. Mary's 6 in the second quarter. On our Valentino's score update, Renderos will take the carry and pick up a couple down to the 19-yard line. Nothing fancy today so far from Overton, Tony. A couple of picks maybe slowed that down a little bit early.
Yeah, I think you're just seeing they're preaching, hold on to the football. That's what he's saying right now. We'll run this clock, hold on to the football, let's get out of here.
Again, the winner will advance on to second-round play on Wednesday in Class D1 against either Crawford or Garden County. Garden County, the higher seed. And a little cross-buck. Schaefer, the quarterback's going to keep it and gets through the line across the 25, and Teal throws him down at the first town marker. Ethan Teal starting to pick things up defensively. And again, trying to run a little misdirection that time, Tony. Good job by Teal to prevent a huge play. It's enough for the first down, gain of 5.
Well, Teal's got to be thinking, guys, you got to slow him down or something, because he was the first man to touch him, and he was the last line of defense also for the Cyclones. So nice tackle by Teal, but you got to be shaking his head what those other 7 guys are doing up there.
So 6 minutes to go here and counting midway through the third quarter. Move the chains, the first down of the second half for Overton. Second first down of the second half for Overton, and Overton will hand it off. We get on a little crossbuck that gets up to the 28-yard line. And Hodson picks up a couple. Jared, over 120 yards so far in the football game. We remind you, you're listening to the State High School Football Playoffs on KXPN Kearney, Overton, and Odessa, ESPN Radio 1460, and the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. 5:23 to go in the third quarter, Overton 27, Clearwater Orchard 8, and the Eagles have the ball, and again, Schaefer wanted to keep it, and Hodson wouldn't let him have it. Hodson comes across the 30 to the 31.
Yeah, you're starting to see the lines stand each other up again, and basically somebody falls down then is what all that happened. And a lot of that in the first half of the third quarter was a pretty good hitting quarter.
Again, a missed falling here at Overton with 4:45 to go in quarter number 3. This time they'll split 2 men out wide to the right side, an empty backfield here for Schaefer as he wipes his hands to get rid of some of that water. He's going to throw it out here down the line of scrimmage, complete to Olmstead. He's got the first down. He'll be pushed out of bounds at the 39-yard line, and another First down for Overton. Just a short little 8-yard gain, but enough to move the chains.
I think number 22, Willits, gets up and is shaking his head a little bit, saying, "Yeah, you got a 195-pound sophomore just ran me over. Why could he not just took a one step to the right and went out of bounds? We'd avoided all the contact and moved on with our lives."
This isn't you.
You're
first
right.
Down and 10 at the 39-yard line. Now they're going to go shotgun, same formation except for the shotgun. Schaefer wants to run, comes to the left. There was a block in the back, not called. Schaefer turns the corner, 35-30, and he's going to be pushed out of bounds at the 26. Tony, how did they miss the block in the back on Skyler Strope? It was 1 yard away from the quarterback, Schaefer. That was a block in the back that was just not called.
Well, is there? But there's about 3 yards where that's legal, isn't it? Right by the line of scrimmage, Doug?
It's going to be enough for a first down, 14-yard gain. So Schaefer with 46 yards unofficially in the football game, 15 first down. 27-8 here in favor of Overton. Toss to Hodgson, right side, and he's going to be corralled by Logan Hoffman. Clearwater Orchard should have some good wrestlers the way they've been taken down and doing some one-on-one, a lot of one-on-one tackling in this ball game, Tony, by Clearwater Orchard. Whether it's in the middle of the line or whether they get outside, they've done a good job tackling in the football game.
Well, it's a lot easier to tackle these guys one-on-one in between those hash marks because they're just the footing goes right out from underneath them.
Second down, 7, the ball at the Cyclone 23. Hodgson comes out of the backfield and goes wide right, man-to-man coverage. Schaefer going to keep it and roll to the right, and there is nowhere to go. In on the tackle, Cody shot, but Aaron Hemingway wouldn't let him get up the field, and he's going to be brought down at the line of scrimmage, and it'll be 3rd down and 7.
I think some indecision there by Schaefer. Maybe a little miscommunication from what the play should have been to what it ended up, because Schaefer didn't look comfortable trying to hand that ball off or trying to run it.
Clearwater Orchard made it to the 3rd round of the state football playoffs last season, to the quarters and trying to make something happen. Now they're down 27-8. Overton looking for their first win since the 2006 playoffs when they won state. And here is that counter to the right end. Renderos was lined up in the slot. Not much. And it's going to bring up 4th down and 6. We're going to give him a whole yard on that.
Well, Renderos has got to bring that play outside more. He tried to cut it up too fast. I think if he keeps bringing it outside, he's probably got a big play on his hands.
Orchard was the state runner-up back in 1995. Clearwater was the runner-up back in 1993 as far as playoff goes. So they're going to go for it, 4th and 6. 3 wide out, shotgun here. Schaefer back to pass, looking right all the way. Throws it for the end zone, double coverage, caught, touchdown, Olmstead simply out-jumped everybody. The coverage was there, Olmstead was taller, and Olmstead has another touchdown.
No, it's Hodgson on the outside.
You're right, Tony, my bad. Hodgson with the touchdown. Boy, he really got up. I just, as tall as he was, I thought it was Olmstead, and with the mud starting to get a little dirty on the uniforms in that far corner, I apologize. Hodgson in for another touchdown.
Yeah, Hodgson went up. Looked like number 22 Willits was right down there looking for his 3rd pick of the game. Just mistimed his jump, and Hodgson was right there to pluck it out of the air.
And they try the extra point kick. A lot of movement. The snap's going to go straight to Hodgson. He's going to throw it into the end zone for the 2-point conversion, and it is no good. So 2:31 to go here in the 3rd quarter. Overton is rolling and on their way to the 2nd round. It's the Eagles 33 and the Cyclones of Clearwater Orchard 8. We'll be back with the kickoff after this timeout.
Stop into an Aurora Co-op today and get all you need to keep your farm going. You can find an Aurora Co-op near you. Aurora Co-op is a proud supporter of all area athletes in and out of the game. Aurora Co-op with a location near you.
Helpful people, dependable products, the ones you can count on at Fast Fills Plaza on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Offering good customer service is easy when you connect with customers. Fast Fills is your local Cenex convenience store. Helpful, like great team members.
AgriServices is a proud sponsor of high school sports. AgriServices identifies their intention to provide staff and services that continually exceed customer expectations. Consider AgriServices as your service partner. AgriServices, proud to be Agra.
Doug Duda along with Tony Davis. And Tony, Overton has just quit making mistakes, and it's showing on the scoreboard.
Yeah, they're taking care of business. They're moving the chains. That's what they want to do, and the clock's running.
They kick his way, take it to the 12, and up to the 15, Teal to the 20, and still on his feet, not getting up the field, just trying to bounce off a couple of Eagles, still on his feet, and finally gets to the 25 and will be brought down there. First down and 10 for Clearwater Orchard. Finally able to go out there and bring him down for the Eagles was Renderos. And first and 10 here for the Cyclones, 25.
Looks like he's just kind of feeling his way out there. Any coach out there saying, run, you would normally say north and south. Well, here it's east and west. You got to duck your head and go and take what's there.
5-3, Clearwater Orchard. Looks like they're going to end at 5-4. We still have over a quarter to go. Willis wants to throw. Has some time. Nobody to throw to. He'll tuck it up and run. 30, 35, and out to the 39-yard line. He's got a gain of 14, first and 10 for the Cyclones.
Yeah, once the pocket broke down, he escaped out of there and made a nice run on the play. Everybody was covered down the field. That's one of those, would have been a coverage sack if they sacked him.
That's a very, very nice play there by Overton to make him run, and then a nice play by Willits to get that big yardage when he did run. They'll put Strope wide to the right, and they will send Teal wide to the left. They will give it to the fullback Hart off the left side, and Hodson will fight off his block and help bring him down after a gain of a yard out to midfield.
Yeah, much better job. They keep trying to go back to the left-hand side. They had some luck there right there in the first half, but I'm having much now.
Minute 50 to go here in the third quarter. 33-8 in favor of Overton after Clearwater Orchard had the first score of the game. They had an interception down to the 9, and Strope took it in. Now Willis back to pass, looks deep, throws over the middle, but behind Strope at the first down marker, and that'll bring up third down and 9. Still, Tony, no yards through the air here for Clearwater Orchard.
Yeah, Strope thought he was the intended receiver. I think the ball was actually intended for Teal, which was about 8 yards behind Strope, both in the same area that time.
Third down, 9, ball at midfield. And they will put him back in a power eye formation here. No wideouts. Might be looking for Teal, the tight end. Back to pass. Looking that way. Under pressure. Slips. Throws it out there. It's complete to Hart. And he's going to be brought down short of the first down. Everybody slipping and sliding in the middle of the football field. He's down to the Overton 37. It's going to be only about a 3-yard gain. 4th and 6.
Well, Preston Meyer squirted through there. Now, Preston Meyer plays center on the offense. He's up on the line a lot of the time for the defense. But he is 180 pounds, but he is very tall, probably 6'4", maybe. He comes through there, gets his hands in the air. The quarterback didn't know what to do. Falling away, got rid of the football.
Well, nothing to do but go for it here for the Cyclones. 4th and 6, they will go for it. And back to pass, Willett. He's going to throw it. There's contact. There's a pass interference. Jensen and Teal both turn back to look at the ball, and Teal fell to the ground. Pass interference will be called here against Overton.
So that's a bad call, I think. He turns around and ran right. Jensen's standing there. Hey, the receiver runs right into Jensen. Jensen's got a right to stand back there, I believe.
So a pass interference penalty will move the chains here. That is the seventh penalty for 70 yards against Overton. They've had 3 15-yard penalties in this football game, and that will move the chains. So put the ball down at the 22-yard line. First down and 10, Clearwater Orchard. Overton leading it in the final minute of the third quarter, 33-8. Back to pass, quick slant, and Teal is drilled as the ball gets there. Jensen says, throw the flag now.
That's one of those immediately when the ball reached him. Jensen delivered the blow. The ball shot straight up in the air and behind him. Good hit on the play by Jensen.
I'll tell you what, you're going to need more than a hip pad after that. He just drilled him in the side. Second and 10 now at the 22-yard line of Overton. Cyclones looking for their second touchdown. All kinds of pressure on Willis. He's going to be sacked back at the 30-yard line. And a penalty flag as he's brought down, and that can only mean one thing. That's probably a face mask, Tony. We have not had an official sack in this football game. That would have been the first, and it looks like it's going to be negated by a face mask. It's going to be a 5-yard variety.
Well, that was an Olmstead Brothers sandwich right there because Jacob and Zach were both right on top of the quarterback.
So let's see where the Markoff will take this. It's going to be a sack on the play and then a 5-yard face mask penalty on Overton. So a loss of 8 on the sack. And it's going to be 2nd and 13. Willits back to pass. This time he's sacked. Overton's bringing everybody. They know they're going to throw the ball. And Hodson came on the blitz and drilled him.
Yeah, they just were overnumbered up on the offensive line. They didn't have enough linemen to block the defense that was coming for the Eagles. And Hodson comes through untouched. Quarterback takes 2 steps backwards, and Hodson pounces on him immediately.
Back-to-back sacks brings up 3rd and 21 with 20 seconds and counting here in the third quarter. They'll have Manteel out wide to the right, still line of the I formation. And the long count, Willett straight back to pass, maybe setting up a screen or going deep. No, he's going to go deep and incomplete. In fact, it didn't appear that Cody Schott knew the ball was coming his way and incomplete. So it'll be 4th and 21 with 5 seconds to go in the third quarter. And tough here for the Cyclones, Tony, a team that doesn't pass the ball much, trying to pass the ball here, down 33-8. So far in the ball game, Willett is 1 out of 7, 1 interception. 3 yards, and he's also been sacked twice now on this drive.
You know, Doug, we say it all season long. He's got to be able to throw the ball with some consistency if you're going to advance this time of year.
Well, they're going to line up to go for it. Let's see what they've got in the book for 4th and 21. Overton's going to bring those linebackers and rolling out Willits. Pressure from the backside. Turns the corner, going to run 30, 25, and he'll be pushed out of bounds at the 23-yard line. So he picks up about 11 on the play, but it'll be given to Overton on downs, and that's the final play of the third quarter here at Overton. And after 3 in the opening round of the D1 State Football Playoffs on ESPN Radio, it's Overton 33 and Clearwater Orchard 8. We'll be back with more high school football after this timeout.
For more than a decade, ENT Physicians of Kearney have provided the highest quality care to patients with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. Doctors Owen and Conley, caring for our community one patient at a time, were ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. Eustis Body Shop, that's who we are.
Overton Sand and Gravel is proud to support all the area high school athletes this year. Call Overton Sand and Gravel for your commercial or residential concrete and other rock. Overton Sand and Gravel, serving Overton and the surrounding areas.
L&S Tire and Towing in Elm Creek, along with J&L Sinclair and Overton, would like to take this time to wish the area teams best of luck in the game. For everything you need to keep your vehicle on the road, L&S Tire and Towing and J&L Sinclair has it.
Overton will have the ball 1st and 10 as we start the fourth quarter, but before they can get a play underway, we're going to have a penalty flag, illegal procedure, called on the Eagles.
You know, Overton, that's something that's going to have to be cleaned up. All these penalty yardage is amounting to a bunch on the day, and that's something you cannot have. That should have been straightened up through weeks 2 and 3.
That is the 9th penalty for 80 yards in the football game, not counting a couple of kicks that went out of bounds earlier in the contest. So 1st and 15 at their own 18-yard line, Overton leading it over Clearwater Orchard 33-8 here on ESPN Radio. And Schaefer back to pass, looking for more. Out here in the flat, he's got Olmstead complete, and he's tripped up just short of midfield on the touchdown-saving tackle by Teal. And Overton trying to really put some more points on the board. Huge gain on the play from the 18 down to the 39. That's 21.
He said it, Doug. Great tackle, one-on-one, as Teal dives and grabs the legs of Olmstead because there was nothing between him and the end zone.
Well, Clearwater Orchard has been stacking the box that there's only one guy back, and that's Teal. And so that's how Olmstead's able to find some space there. And Schaefer on 1st and 10, going to toss it out to the wide side, Hodson, and there's a nice wrap-up tackle by Aaron Schleiser. And Schleiser will bring him down after a gain of about a yard and a half just across midfield at the 39-yard line.
Once again, Brady Cox has been on the kickout block on the outside of that formation, Doug. We're told that of everyone on this team, Brady Cox, number 72, he's 210 pounds, a senior, runs the fastest 40 time.
It's not too bad for the Overton Eagles. go to the Valentino scoreboard. Crofton 7, Cozad nothing, and that's in the second quarter. Loomis 28, O'Neill St. Mary's 14 in the second quarter. Elm Creek leading Randolph 14 to nothing in the second. And Schaefer going to be thrown down behind the line of scrimmage by Aaron Hemingway as he tries to keep it. He's going to lose a half a yard, and it's going to be 3rd and 9.
Was brought down to Hemingway. Great tackle. And there's just no footing out there, Doug. Once they get their hands on it, everybody goes straight down because you can't move your legs, just go out from under you. I'm surprised we're not seeing more sweeps and stuff of that nature.
Randolph has scored. It's 14-6 Elm Creek in the second quarter. 3rd and 9 at midfield here for Overton. They're up 33-8, 10.5 to go in the ball game. Back to pass, trying to set up the screen, and Schaefer's pass is going to be tipped. On the rush that time was Logan Hoffman, and the tip pass made it fall well short of Renderos. And Overton looks like they're going to have to punt for the first time in the game with 10:25 to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the screen play was really set up to the left-hand side. There were two blockers out there. There were two people coming. They picked them up. That's a huge play for the Eagles.
So Schaefer will stand at his own 29-yard line to boot it away. No pressure, and he'll get a good line drive kick. Let it bounce inside the 10 to the 5 to the 1-yard line. It'll be down right there. Good job by Overton to get down the football field and down that kick. And getting down there was Zach Olmstead.
Yeah, the line drive just took off immediately. The returner got out of the way, and it just died inside the 5. So another break for the Eagles as if they needed another one here today.
So they punted it once. It's a beautiful 39-yard punt. That ends up at the 1-yard line. 10:17 to go in the game. 33-8 Overton leading Clearwater Orchard, and they will give the ball to Strope, and Strope tries to turn the corner, and he is going to be brought down by Renderos after a gain of about a yard out to the 2-3. Now they gave him a lot more than we thought he would. Maybe they're closer to the 4. So let's give him a 3-yard gain out to the 4-yard line. Skyler Strope, he is the 165-pound senior playing his final football game here for Clearwater Orchard, over a 1,000-yard rusher. And I guess they just want to get it back in his hands a little bit here. He probably deserves it, Tony.
Yeah, he's carried them this whole year, 120 points. He scored 1,096 yards, I mentioned earlier, entering this ball game. So he's their leader. He's the one that's brought him this far.
Willits gives it to Strope. He tries to get to the outside, and he is going to meet a trio of Overton Eagles at the 5-yard line, and they'll bring him down right there, 3rd down and 6.
Yeah, Hodson was there along with Jensen and Zach Olmstead as well. So I don't know if Strope wants them to keep giving him the ball. That's going to be the result. Three guys slamming to the ground every time, because that's the way it's been here. Late in this ballgame.
Tony, Overton's already going to have an advantage going into next week because their opponent will either be Crawford or Garden County, and they postponed the game today because of the weather, so they got to play tomorrow. Whoever wins that has one less day of rest and preparation to take on a physical Overton team, and on 3rd and 6, they give it to Strope. He's bounced into the right side of the line, bounces off that, tries to get outside, and doesn't get anywhere. No gain on the play. So 4th down, and it looks like they'll punt it right back.
Yeah, nothing to be had there. Brandon Jarrett, I believe number 54, seeing some of his first action up there on the line for the Eagles, did a good job that time of making a tackle.
Again, Garden County and Crawford, they would have played, so we'll see how that works out. Garden County is Oshkosh. They try to block the punt. They do block the punt in the end zone. Jacob Jensen, and it is covered for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's Zach Olmstead. That's number 88, Doug, who came down with the football. That's 88, Jacob Olmstead. The ball just floated right into his arms, and he secured it.
Jacob Olmstead having a career day today. Olmstead blocks that punt into the end zone, and you knew they were coming. They had nothing to lose, and it's 39-8, and they'll line up for the extra point. Haven't been able to connect on the last two. And looking for the extra point. The kick is on the way, and this one is stabbed up there. No good. It's wide to the right. So with 8:22 to go in the ball game, Overton's going to get their 8th win of the season. It's Overton 39 and Clearwater Orchard 8. We're back with the kickoff after this.
S.A. Foster Lumber in Overton welcomes contractors and do-it-yourselfers. Foster's is a complete lumber yard and carries everything you need to spruce up your home, too. From hammers to power tools, new doors, paint, hardware, windows, and much, much more. See Foster Lumber in Overton. Best of luck, athletes.
Hello?
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, asking you to describe us in just three words.
Three words. How about awesome, cool, and awesome?
Visit Builders to make your project awesome, cool, and awesome.
Community banking is our business, and your peace of mind is our priority. At Platte Valley State Bank, we will build a financial relationship with you that will meet your needs and truly bring you peace of mind. The right community bank is pretty important, and Platte Valley State Bank is the right financial center for you. Member FDIC.
And welcome back here to Overton. A special teams defensive touchdown for Overton on the block punt recovered in the end zone by Olmstead. And the kickoff will be muffed into the end zone for Clearwater Orchard. And they're going to head over to the gym when this one's over and try and pry some of this mud off of them and pack the uniforms away for the 2009 season. And then they've got to make the long trip back home. And some will head to Clearwater and some will head to Orchard and some will head it somewhere in between. And they'll get ready for the winter sports season as Clearwater Orchard, who made it to the state quarters last year, I'm not going to make it any farther here this year. And on first down and 10, back to pass Willits. Has some time here, going to throw it as far as he can. He's looking for a strope, some contact, and the ball is going to be knocked away. And good defense that time by Jensen. Both players did what they had to do that time. Willits showing he had a pretty good arm. He got that baby about 35, 40 yards in the air.
I was going to say pretty good defense by Strope because he knocked Jensen down on the play. Jensen would have to actually intercept the ball, and I think if there would have been, there was a lot of contact, but I think it was Strope the one initiating the contact.
39-8, a 31-point lead. Has to be a 35-point lead for the continuous clock as Willits goes back to pass, stands in the mud, throws over the middle. Had Teal, but overthrew him. And Jensen had his eyes on another turnover there. He thought he was going to get an interception, but falls incomplete.
Yeah, Doug is exactly right. It was Teal had found a hole in the zone, and pass was just thrown a little bit behind him, and Jensen was right there, about 6 yards behind him.
You're listening to the state football playoffs on KXPN Kearney, ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda and Tony Davis with you here at Overton, 3rd and 10. And it looks like a timeout will be called by Clearwater Orchard before the play gets underway. So our first timeout of the second half, it is 39-8, Overton leading Clearwater Orchard here on ESPN Radio. And earlier, these scores coming in, it was Loomis 28, O'Neill St. Mary's 14 as they approach the half. Elm Creek leading Randolph 14-6 as they approach the half. And Crofton led Cozad 7-0 in the second quarter. Some of the early starts today. Again, a reminder, the Pleasanton-Potter Dix game today, scheduled to start at 4, has been postponed. They'll play tomorrow at 4, and we'll air it on 98.9 FM. The Elm Creek-Randolph game currently on 98.9, followed by Kearney Catholic Ravenna. Here on ESPN Radio and ESPNSuperstation.com, Arapahoe will be hosting Amherst. Tony and I will head down there for a 7 o'clock kickoff.
A quick note on the Loomis game, that is at a half now, so at 28-14, that is at halftime.
Winner that gets Pleasanton or Potter Dix. Setting up a screen here on third to Strope. It's well covered. Caught at the 15, breaks a tackle. 20, 25, 30, and he brought down as he gets into the open field at the 38-yard line by Jensen. Nice, nice play.
Nice play and a nice touchdown saving tackle by Jensen on the outside. It looked like Overton had a chance to blow that play up right when it got started, and Strope made a miss, and down the sidelines he went, and Jensen was the only one there for the Eagles.
So that is the biggest pass play of the ball game, down to the 33-yard line and a first down, and back to pass again, Willis. He's going to fire over the middle and complete to Teal and drilled by Jensen at the first down marker. And another first down, give him 11 yards.
But Jensen had a hurt shoulder 2 weeks ago versus Alma. And it looks like he's hurt it again. He's down and having trouble getting up right now, and I think he got to go back to that shoulder on that. The last tackle when he brought Strope down, he was a little sore, got up a little bit gingerly, but now he is down and going to have to come out of this ball game.
So we've got an injury on the field, 39-8 Overton with 7:39 to go. We'll take a break. Be right back.
Is this the year for a brand new affordable, yes, I said affordable home? Or maybe you'd rather invest in a new fifth-wheel travel trailer. We've got you covered both ways. We're Eagle Crest Homes and Campers, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
AgriServices is a proud sponsor of high school sports. AgriServices identifies their intention to provide staff and services that continually exceed customer expectations. Consider AgriServices as your service partner. AgriServices, proud to be Agra.
Dr. Daniel McCallahan, DDS, is your family dentist in Overton, proud to support our area youth in and out of the games. Dr. McCallahan is keeping your smile healthy in Overton. Best of luck, Overton Eagles.
Well, after the injury timeout, Willis is going to drop back to pass. Pump fake will not go deep. He's going to throw it underneath the stroke. Little catch. Now he breaks a tackle at the 30, down to the 20, and brought down. Nice run, Tony.
Yeah, a lot of people miss on that, Doug. A good run from Strope.
About 18 more yards, and so Overton kind of letting them have what they want right here as Willis back to pass, throws over the middle. It's complete again. This one a lot shorter completion into the hands of Cody Schott, and it's going to be a gain of about 4 yards.
Mentioned Brandon Jarrett in there, Nicholas Seeberger as well. Seeing some of his first action on the defensive side of the ball for the Eagles. So they're working some players in to get them some good playoff experience here today.
Willis rolls out on the second-team defense, throws underneath, looking for Strope, and incomplete at the 10-yard line. That'll stop the clock. With 6:51 to go in our ball game, it's Overton 39 and Clearwater Orchard 8. Overton will either host Garden County or travel to Crawford next Wednesday. Obviously, they're crossing their fingers for a home football game, looking down the road. Who knows? Giltner, Axtell, Burwell, all on the other side. Third down and 6. Back to pass Willits again. Going to throw down the middle of the field in the end zone and trying to come back for it is Teal, but can't get there, and the ball falls incomplete in the end zone, and that'll bring up fourth down and 5.
Good coverage down the field that time by 140-pound senior Kyle Seeberger. Seeing his some of his first action as well in the defensive backfield. So
some of the originals, Renderos is still in there. Olmstead is still in there along that line. They're keeping some of the guys. Secondary changing that up a little bit. But fourth down coming up here for the Cyclones. Ball at the 15-yard line of Overton. Looking for their first touchdown since the first quarter. Willits throws it underneath. It is complete. Then the ball is punched loose. Fumble covered by Overton. Didn't matter. It was fourth down. But the fumble recovery that time by the Eagles' Brandon Jarrett, the sophomore, after the completion to Cody Schott, was just punched right out of there.
Yeah, you want to see people attacking the football still and making sure they wrap it up. Well, they wrapped up really good that time. Came around the middle section. He clubbed the ball with a fist. Looked like the ball shot backwards 4 or 5 yards. Jared right there to pounce on it.
So that'll be the third turnover of the ball game for Clearwater Orchard. Two fumbles and an interception. And again, that was on fourth down. It really wouldn't have mattered if he'd have just been tackled, or even if Clearwater Orchard would have fell on top of it, it would have been Overton ball. They're up 39-8 with 6:37 to go.
See Christian Schwartz comes into the game, seeing his first action here at the offense for the Eagles.
So first down and 10 at their own 18-yard line, and Overton with some new folks in the ball game, and Jacob Jensen, the quarterback, is going to keep it and come around the right end. 20, 30, 40. He's into Clearwater Orchard territory all the way down to the 37-yard line, and that's going to be 29 on the gain for Jacob Jensen, the backup quarterback. Now he's going to come out.
Yeah, very, very well-designed play. They saw it, but they had trouble getting to the outside here tonight. They finally got to the outside, another big play for the Eagles.
So everybody getting a chance to do something here in quarter number 4. A lot of brand-new jerseys in there for the Overton Eagles. First down and 10 at the 32-yard line of the Cyclones. And they will turn and hand it off right up the middle, 30 down to the 25-yard line. And Kyle Seeberger carries it. He's going to pick up nearly 6 yards.
Chuck Elsie in there, number 13, up on the as an end for the Eagle offense. And like you said, so many other people will try and get him for you. Matt Aiden, 135-pound freshman, seeing some of his first action for the night on the left side end.
And he will come up and take over the quarterback duties for Overton. So 8 and under center. Colburn's back in there. Toss sweep left side. Seeberger, and he is de-cleated. Still some of the first defense in there for Clearwater Orchard, and Aaron Schleisner says, hello, youngster, and brings Seeberger back a couple of yards. It'll be third down, and they're going to call four.
Yeah, I think there's some of those reserves over for Clearwater saying, well, I don't know if my jersey needs to get dirty like those guys. I don't know.
Coach, I'm okay. I don't know. Okay. Don't worry about it. Third down and four. Unbalanced, strong to the right side. Ayton turns, hands it off. Seeberger not there, and they're just selling out right now. Clearwater Orchard knows they're going to hand it off. Seeberger dropped for another yard loss on the play, but all Overton wants to do is keep that clock moving. 5 minutes to go in the game. Overton 39, Clearwater Orchard 8 here on KXPN. Kearney Overton at Elm Creek and the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up, the Misco Sports postgame report. We'll have all the final stats for you. Might even get a chance to chat with Glenn Snodgrass. We'll see how that breaks down. And then don't forget, we'll be down for the Amherst-Arapahoe game later here on ESPN. We're going to line up and punt it into the wind here instead of trying to do something. And the kick is away. Ayton actually punts it. It's going to be a good one. It hits at the 10 and bounces out of bounds inside the 5 between the 1 and the 2-yard line. Not bad, youngster. Not bad, Mr. Ayton.
Well, it tightrope the sideline. Looked like it had an opportunity. Got a bounce about the 10-yard line. About a yard from going out of bounds, just shot straight to the west, right down the sideline, goes out of bounds about the 1.5 or 2.
There have been 2 Overton punts. They've kicked it out at the 1, they've kicked it out at the 2.
That's pretty good job of field position, controlling field position, I guess.
It looks like the Cyclones have also brought in a few new faces here, including a new quarterback, and it's just a quarterback sneak, and the tackle is going to be made out there by Seeberger. And the new quarterback for Clearwater Orchard is Travis Kester. That's Nick Seeberger in on the tackle. It's going to be a gain of 2 yards, second down and 8.
Andrew Allamut in there, along with number 14, Ethan Enox. Number 27, Brett Airy enters the ball game. Number 54, Brandon Jarrett's been in there, along with 56, Trenton Lammer. So a lot of new names, new faces.
Kester, the quarterback, he slips, he sneaks forward for another half a yard out to the 5-yard line. And again, neither team wants to do much here. They just want to get the game over with. Clearwater Orchard knows that they're going to end at 5-4. Overton's going to improve to 8-1 with their first playoff win since carrying the hardware off Memorial Stadium back in 2006.
Well, I remember that. They had the All-State punter, that McCarter kid. What a great honor that was to give him the All-State punting.
They beat Bancroft Rosalie up that night, 32-8. Now Kester going to toss it out into his own end zone and trying to find somewhere to go is the new I-back is number 99, Sung-Yin Han. And so the youngster gets his first varsity carry here in the playoffs, and I guess it's no secret foreign exchange student comes in there. And a Clearwater Orchard now going to take a timeout. Fourth down at their own 3-yard line. Lost a couple of yards on that. So timeout on the field, 2:56 to go. It's Overton 39, Clearwater Orchard 8. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
S.A. Foster Lumber in Overton welcomes contractors and do-it-yourselfers. Foster's is a complete lumber yard and carries everything you need to spruce up your home, too. From hammers to power tools, new doors, paint, hardware, windows, and much, much more. See Foster Lumber in Overton. Best of luck, athletes.
L&S Tire and Towing in Elm Creek, along with J&L Sinclair in Overton, would like to take this time to wish the area teams best of luck in the game. For everything you need to keep your vehicle on the road, L&S Tire and Towing and J&L Sinclair has it.
And welcome back to high school football here on your sports leader, the Tri-Cities ESPN Radio, 1460 and 1550. Glad to have you along with us. Don't forget, just getting underway, a couple of games on the bottom half of the West Bracket. Alma at Palmer, Eustace Farnham is at Silver Lake. And getting ready to punt it away here will be Clearwater Orchard. And the punt is away by the Orchard Clearwater Orchard Cyclones, taking it to the 29. Seeberger up to the 26, and he'll be brought down there about a 27-yard punt.
Daniel Mendoza punting that ball away for the Cyclones.
So it'll be first down and 10 for the Overton Eagles, leading it 39-8 with 2:44 to go here. It was 8-7 Clearwater Orchard after one. 21-8 Overton at the half, and Clearwater Orchard fumbled the ball inside the 15 with about a minute to go in the first half. Could have cut it to a one-possession game, and then it's all Overton in the second half. 25-yard run by Jacob Olmstead, a 22-yard pass from Schaefer to Hodson, and then a block punt. Jake Olmstead recovered it in the end zone for a touchdown. Here's a toss sweep to Seaberger around the left side. Gets to the 20, gets to the 15. Legs still turning down to the 13. First down, Overton.
They just that's just a quick pitch. It's almost like a lateral pass. They just get the handoff and flip it out there to the left and let him see what he can get.
2:35 remaining here in quarter number four, and the clock counting as the second, however many folks are on the sideline getting into the game now for Overton. They salted it away here in the fourth quarter. Ayton, the quarterback, bobbles it, gets it back. He's going to turn and hand it off to Colburn, and Colburn's going to get inside the 10 to about the 9. We'll call it a gain of 4 for Trey Colburn, who saw some action with the first team sporadically throughout the afternoon.
Daniel Mendoza, 220-pound freshman, brings him down.
So right now, Clearwater Orchard just trying to keep Overton off the board here. One more time, second and 6, just inside the 10-yard line. And Ayton talking to his running backs back there in Seaberger. And they're a little confused back there. Let's see if Coach Snodgrass, he just says, just run the play. So a toss sweep to the right side, inside the 10 to the 5, and down to the 2-yard line for the Overton Eagles. And carrying the ball that time was number 28, Andrew Olamith. And they'll take him to the 2, first and goal.
Well, you got so many new faces, and they're very, very seldom. You see these freshmen and sophomores that'll drop a shoulder and try and run over somebody. Olamith just drops his left shoulder. That's pretty good hitting going on for basically junior varsity that we're seeing out here right now.
First and goal at the 2 with a minute and a half to go here for Overton, and they may take a knee the way they're lined up here. Ayton at the 2, and yeah, that's what he's going to do. They're not going to run the score up here on Clearwater Orchard, and Clearwater Orchard came through there strong expecting him to run the ball, but they had already set all of it about 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and they're just going to kneel this out. And on the far side, Cyclone coach Jeff Shabram says, hey, guys, keep it spread. Don't rush because they're just going to kneel on the ball. So needing to kneel on it 2 more times before this one is in the books as the youngster, Matt Ayton, the freshman, will look over there at his coach, Glenn Snodgrass, who will tell him when it's okay to snap the ball and kneel on it. Now we're inside the 5 seconds, so he takes it. He kneels on it. 40 seconds to go in the football game, and coming through there, Jackson Cassidy for Clearwater Orchard to touch him and make sure he's down. So a solid football game here this evening for the Overton Eagles. Nothing real fancy. They kept it close to the vest, had a couple of inside handoffs into that slot position in the third quarter, and got a completion in the air to Hodgson, and they were able to pull away and get the victory here as Ayton takes the ball and kneels on it one final time. And the Overton fans who were here this afternoon in these cold, wet conditions are able to see their Eagles get a win at home for the first time in the playoffs since 2006, and they do it this afternoon by downing Clearwater Orchard by a final score of Overton 39 and Clearwater Orchard 8. And Tony, Overton looked solid. They didn't make many mistakes. There were a couple of interceptions in the football game. Give credit to Calvin Willits. He was the quarterback, but he was also the safety, and he made a couple of nice plays. He set up the only touchdown they had, which put them up 8-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah, Doug, I think you get rid of those 2 interceptions and then address the penalty situation. You feel pretty good about the way things went today. You said at the halftime, Clearwater Orchard won first down. You knew it was probably going to be a long, long second half unless they really made some major adjustments. They're unable to do that. Overton controlled this game. Overton is a better football team today.
Yeah, and actually they almost looked better offensively in the third quarter, but then they fell behind enough that they started throwing the ball, and there wasn't a whole lot of luck there as the physicality really shone through. So the final score, Overton 39 and Clearwater Orchard 8. We'll be back with the Visco Sports postgame show with the final stats, score updates, and more right after this.
Mischko Sports Incorporated of Kearney wants you to see them before the game begins. With a great selection to choose from, get your game on at Mischko's now. In the downtown Kearney Center, MISCOs. You'll be better equipped for the games you play.
We believe you deserve the best. That's why we're here at Ag West. You gotta go AgWest.com. Go Ag West.
L&S Tire and Towing in Elm Creek, along with J&L Sinclair in Overton, would like to take this time to wish the area teams best of luck in the game. For everything you need to keep your vehicle on the road, L&S Tire and Towing and J&L Sinclair has it.
You're headed in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Can't seem to find that car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Hillion Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979. 8th and Central, Kearney.
We're back live from Overton, where they have defeated Clearwater Orchard 39-8 here in the afternoon playoff action. Really a dominating performance taken over in the second half by the Eagles, and especially the Eagle defense. They did not allow Clearwater Orchard to do hardly anything all day long, but the second half they were able to take over this ball game and make the big plays we thought they would make, get some plays going down the field. Jacob Olmstead, what a day for that young man.
Yeah, great ball game for him. And, again, the guys that are out there, Coach Snodgrass doesn't have to play a whole ton of players tonight, but they are able to get some things done and get some victories or get some good plays made on both sides of the football, and they win the ball game 39-8. This is the MISCO Sports Postgame Show. MISCO Sports on the brick to the downtown Kearney Center. Reminds you, as the fall sports season winds down, the winter sports season is not far away, and they've got men's, women's basketball gear, wrestling gear as well, Nike, Adidas, Asics, and a whole lot more. Stop by and see them, where they're open 7 days a week and late on Thursdays. And, Tony, today is?
Thursday.
Open till 8 tonight. See Steve and the gang at MISCO's on the brick to the downtown Kearney Center. Don't forget, a lot more football coming up. But right now, Tony, let's go to the Valentino's scoreboard. A couple of scores from that we've updated. Broken Bow already up 14-0 on Mitchell as the first quarter ends. Ponca 42-0 at the half in their ball game. Ponca, solid football team, number one seed in the East in Class C 2. They're pounding 3-5 Palmyra 42-0 at the half. You've got a few more.
Well, a little bit of a surprise maybe. Doug Crofton 7, Cozad enters in today 3-5, I believe. Probably a lot of people didn't give Coach Bubaka that much of a go, but they're only down 7-0 right now at the half. Loomis 28, St. Mary's, there's a role reversal. Loomis, of course, on the road in O'Neill, 28-14. They have the lead at the half. And Elm Creek, right down the road, 6-8 miles here to our east, leads Randolph 21-7, that one at the half as well.
So those are some scores on the Valentino's scoreboard. Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. We bring you the scores, they bring you the pizza, and those are the fine folks up at Valentino's. We'll take a break and be back with more of the MISCO Sports Postgame Show. All the final stats. Stay with us.
Qdoba knows how to make a burrito stand out above the crowd. Starting with a thin shell always steamed, then piled high with meat or chicken, rice with lime and cilantro, cheese, and all the other fillings you want. Qdoba on the corner of 25th and 2nd in Kearney. Proud supporter of all the area teams.
MISCO Sports Incorporated of Kearney wants you to see them before the game begins. With a great selection to choose from, get your game on at MISCO's now. In the downtown Kearney Center, MISCO's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play.
First in personal service, first in community pride, first in supporting local kids giving their all for the home school, first in state-of-the-art banking. We're First Bank and Trust, Cozad, Clay Center, and Eustis.
Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. Eustis Body Shop, that's who we are.
Back at Overton High School, Overton has defeated Clearwater Orchard 39-8 here in playoff action today. We'll give you more scores. I think we've got Glenn Snodgrass set to join us here relatively shortly on the postgame show. Looking forward to that. Some of the Overton players trickle off the field, and you see Jacob Olmstead make his way over here. Doug, you get the stat sheet there, but the kid blocked the punt, ball falls into his hand, and made a nice catch down the field. Defensively played well all day. He was just one of the kids that stood out for Overton today.
And we are joined here on the MISCO Sports Postgame Show by the head coach of the Overton Eagles, Glenn Snodgrass. And, Coach, after a little scare early on, your team was able to take care of the football and do what you do best. Run the ball, hit them with a couple of misdirections, and cruise home with a nice, significant 31-point victory.
Yeah, we talked a lot about limiting mistakes, and we gave them a few early on in the game, but we just kind of stayed the course and stuck with our power running game and sprinkled in some play action when we needed it. And the boys executed well for the entire game. There were very few breakdowns out there.
9 passes when you're ahead. That's like some kind of record, buddy.
Well, we knew that would kind of be there, the play action pass. They really flowed hard to the ball, and we kind of knew that misdirection and some play action run fakes would be there. So it worked out for us.
Tony was calling for those a lot earlier.
Well, I knew Glenn, there was a time there where Jared carried out a fake, and there was nobody on the backside. You picked up about 2 yards, and I saw you look at Eric. I think you noticed that nobody was on the backside either. You waited a little bit longer, but then you ran the end in, and well, Jacob ran it in, I guess, in the end around. But you know they were flowing so, I mean, those linebackers were two-thirds of the way across the field. There's just nobody there on the backside.
Well, there's a lot of things like that that you see on film throughout the week, and you can't pull them out early. You got to set them up. So we were really setting them up on that strong side, and we knew the end around would be there at some point. And we also knew the play-action pass would be there at some point. But a big part of that is just pulling it out at the proper time when it's the best time to do it. And it worked out real well. The boys executed, and that's the big thing.
No panic in the first quarter. You're down 8-7, but you just gradually wore them down. But what was the feeling after one quarter of play down there?
Well, you know, we talk a lot about it being a four-quarter game, you know, being a four-quarter competitor. We have to have short memories if there's mistakes, and the winner of a tough game like this is going to be the one that continues to punch the entire game, you know, doesn't. It's usually not going to be a knockout early. It's a team that continues and stays the course and is able to do carry out their game plan all throughout. So we got good senior leaders out there, and they weren't going to let us get rattled. We didn't at all. We just continued with our game plan.
Glenn, slippery hands out there. I could see, you know, I think you can see 2 turnovers of high school kids. They're going to put the ball on the ground. The ball's going to come out of the quarterback's hands wrong. I don't have a problem. Obviously, the penalties probably concern you just a little bit as you look ahead.
Yeah, we've had problems with penalties all year, and every year we seem to have problems with penalties. I don't know if it's something in the water in Overton or probably the way I coach. I don't know what it is, but we've always got problems with penalties. Last week against Alma, we only had 15 yards in penalties, and, you know, it was like the earth was going to end. I had no idea how to handle that. But tonight we did it again. We just have to make sure we limit that in the big games coming down the stretch here.
Well, now you advance on to Wednesday. You already have an advantage because Crofton and Garden County are not only going to get a play tomorrow, you're probably going to go watch the football game. I'm sure you're going to have the day off to go over there and watch that football game, right?
Yeah, we'll be down there. We're going to head out west. Hopefully there's not mountains of snow on the way, but, yeah, we'll definitely be there.
Do you know anything about either what? You've had a little history with Crawford. As far as Garden County, though, I believe that's a football team that transferred or has went down to C2 or D1 football from C2 after a number of years.
Yeah, they're kind of back and forth. They actually played here at Overton, I think, when Coach Eric Ryan, my assistant, was like a sophomore or something, he was telling me. So Garden County's been here before. But, yeah, I've already done a little pre-scouting on those guys, and I've got a lot of film on them. So they're a quality football team. It's a team with another good running back, maybe not quite as good as Skylar Strope was today, but they're a good football team that's going to present a lot of challenges for us. And luckily we came out of this game injury-free once again. So we're excited about the challenge playing another home game here.
That was my next question. Jensen's okay, looks like a shoulder maybe.
Yeah, he's okay. He just got a shot there, and he'll be all right, though. It's nothing serious. He jogged off the field afterwards.
Big Garden County fan, you want to obviously have the game here.
Yes, we definitely want to have it here. If Garden County wins, it'll be here, and Garden County's already beat Crawford by 35 early in the season, so we're assuming they'll win it again. So it's nice to have another home game here at Overton.
Glenn Snodgrass joins us here on the Misco Sports Postgame Show. Jared Hodgson, just to talk a little bit about him, you move him all over the place. You want to use him as a running back. He gained a lot of tough yards against Alma last week, finally broke it open in the second half. Kind of the same thing here today. He didn't really get a lot of big holes till right before halftime.
Well, he's a guy that gets stronger as the game progresses. He's at his best in the fourth quarter. And where I said it, we were setting up a lot of things off of Jared Hodgson because we knew they were keying on him. And they were sending 2-3 guys right at him every play. So we knew that we were going to just pound it with Jared and then pull out the play action and the misdirection stuff when we needed it. But Jared, man, he's a guy that I'd love to have on third and two or on fourth and one. I mean, he's going to get 2 yards the majority of the time. He's just a tough runner, and these conditions are perfect for him. He's a good mutter. He's a shoulder square and bring it right at you type of kid.
Glenn, maybe a name we don't say enough, and it was a kickout block every time that sprung several touchdowns and several of the bigger plays. It was Brady Cox, number 72, getting out there and leaving no doubt. It was not like they could get a hand on Hodgson or slow somebody down. He was blowing them out of the play.
Brady Cox is one of the most underrated players in eight-man football. I mean, he was the fastest kid on the field today, which you don't say too often about a nose tackle and a guard, but he is a tough kid. He can just do so many things for us. But, you know, Coach, my assistants and I were talking about this the other day. He is just an outstanding eight-man football player. He's a kid that any eight-man team in the state would love to have on their team, so he can just do so many things. But, yeah, we love Brady, and we love having him on our team. He's one of the leading tacklers in the whole state from nose tackle.
A lot of good things happened today for Overton. In the first half, they made sure the momentum, you stop them on fourth and one. You have a mistake. You're at second and 17. 2 plays later, you convert that. You move down. You score. And this football game takes over for you at that point. So, Coach, we'll let you go get back to the locker room and talk to the kids. Congratulations. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That's Coach Glenn Snodgrass of the Overton Eagles. They win it 39-8. Back with the final stats after this on the Misco Sports Postgame Show.
Mischko Sports Incorporated of Kearney wants you to see them before the game begins. With a great selection to choose from, get your game on at Mischko's now. In the downtown Kearney Center, Mischko's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play.
Stop into an Aurora Co-op today and get all you need to keep your farm going. You can find an Aurora Co-op near you. Aurora Co-op is a proud supporter of all area athletes in and out of the game. Aurora Co-op, with a location near you.
S.A. Foster Lumber in Overton welcomes contractors and do-it-yourselfers. Foster's is a complete lumber yard and carries everything you need to spruce up your home, too. From hammers to power tools, new doors, paint, hardware, windows, and much, much more. See Foster Lumber in Overton. Best of luck, athletes.
Dr. Daniel McCallahan, DDS, is your family dentist in Overton, proud to support our area youth in and out of the games. Dr. McCallahan is keeping your smile healthy in Overton. Best of luck, Overton Eagles.
Welcome back to the Misco Sports Postgame Show here on ESPN Radio. Danny, before the stats, let's have another look at the Valentino's scoreboard. We deliver the scores. Valentino's delivers the pizza on this cool night. Try some Valentino's as you enjoy high school football in Game 2 of the World Series.
Doug, actually, all the scores have remained the same that we gave you earlier. Crofton 7, Cozad 0. That's in the third quarter. Loomis continues to lead St. Mary's 28 to 14, excuse me, in the third quarter. Of course, our final here, Overton 39, Clearwater 8, and Elm Creek 21, Randolph 6, that in the third quarter as well. So those are the scores we have for you.
Let's take a look at the offense tonight here for Clearwater Orchard, starting in the rushing game. Skyler Strope was held in check here today. He had 16 carries for 52 yards and only 8 yards in the second half, Tony.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where I think everybody knew he was getting the football. Glenn's game plan was sound. They sent people out there. They were all over him. Never could get anything started. Really, the only time he had any success at all was the series right before the first half. I believe he said 44 yards. 21 of those came right before the end of the first half, and that was really his only production of the day.
On the ground, 16 carries, 52 yards, the only touchdown. Tanner Hart, 3 carries, 3 yards. Sung-Yeon Han came in, had 1 carry for -2. The quarterback, Calvin Willett, 8 carries, 17 yards. He was sacked twice. And Travis Kester, 2 carries for 3 yards. Overall, 30 rushing attempts for 73 yards on the ground. As far as throwing the ball, they had to do a lot more of that in the second half. Willett was 0-1 with an interception in the first half. He was 6-13 in the second half. So most of that, again, was against the second-team defense. Not all second-team, but some second-team secondary players for Overton.
Well, and it was Overton making, you know, in that second half, they had to throw the football. They knew they had to throw the football if they were going to claw back into the thing. They weren't real great at throwing the football all year. Only attempted 65 passes entering this game and completing 31 of them entering this game. Had to throw the football, couldn't do the She's going to throw the football.
73 on the ground, 54 through the air, 6 of 15, 1 interception, 127 yards of total offense, 6 first downs today for Clearwater Orchard. They punted the ball 4 times for an average of about 27 yards, 3 turnovers, 4 penalties for 40 yards. And again, their only score came after Calvin Willett's first of 2 interceptions today, took it down to the 9-yard line. Experiencing some difficulties there. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Mishko Sports Incorporated of Kearney wants you to see them before the game begins. With a great selection to choose from, get your game on at Mishko's now. In the downtown Kearney Center, Mishko's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play. AgriServices is a proud sponsor of high school sports. AgriServices identifies their intention to provide staff and services that continually exceed customer expectations. Consider AgriServices as your service partner. AgriServices, proud to be Agra.
Well, we're back here on the Mishko Sports Post Game Show again. We were saying Calvin Willits had 2 interceptions. The first one was down to the 9, and on third down, Skyler Strope took it in. And a 2-point conversion, and Clearwater Orchard led it with 8-11 to go in the first quarter, 8-0, but that was it for them tonight. The rushing for Overton tonight, Jake Olmstead, 1 carry, but it was for 25 yards and a touchdown. Jared Schaefer carried the ball 10 times in the football game for 45 yards. Jacob Jensen, 1 carry for 29 yards. Trey Colburn, he had 5 carries for 4 yards. Michael Renderos had 5 carries for 14 yards. Andrew Olivan had 1 carry for 8 yards. Kyle Seeberger, 4 carries for 16 yards. And Tony, the big man tonight, as he always is for the Overton Eagles, was Jared Hodson. He had 129 yards rushing unofficially, and he did that on 28 carries.
Yeah, 28 times they give him the ball, and it's not like this is new. They do it all year long. He's going to be awfully sore in the morning, and you mentioned Jacob Olmstead, what a game he had for the Eagles as well. And, you know, he can do all that on the field, and he can still grow a beard in 2 days, and he's a sophomore. I don't get it. I still can't grow a beard.
Is that the big problem?
That's the big problem I got with Jacob Olmstead. How can you grow a beard as a sophomore?
Well, 55 rushing attempts for 270 yards in this football game. They didn't have to throw the ball much tonight, but Jared Schaefer did put it up 9 times. He was 3 of 6 with 2 interceptions in the first half. He was 2 of 3 in the second half, so he ends up 5 out of 9 with 2 interceptions, and he did have the 1 touchdown pass in this football game to Hodson, the 22-yarder, so better add that. I always get a little excited and leave out the touchdowns, Tony, so let's go 6 out of 10 in the football game, 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown, including that 22-yard strike. So he had 31 yards passing in the first half, and he had a total of 51 in the second half. So that's 82 yards on the ground, 82 through the air, 270 yards on the ground, 352 total yards. I had him for 20 first downs. They did have 9 penalties for 80 yards, 2 turnovers both on interceptions, and 2 punts. Both ended up inside the 2-yard line on those 2 punts today for Overton. Jared Hodson, a 5-yard touchdown run. Then Jared Schaefer in the first minute of the second quarter, a quarterback sneak from 1 yard out. Then it was Hodson taking it in with just under 2 minutes to go from 7 yards out in the third quarter. Jacob Olmstead on the end around, a 25-yard touchdown run. And with 2.5 to go in the third quarter, Schaefer hooked up with Hodson on a 22-yard touchdown pass. The final touchdown came on a block punt. Jacob Jensen blocked the punt in the end zone, and Jake Olmstead recovered it for the touchdown. The first 3 PATs were good. The next 3 were not. And the final score here was Overton 39 and Clearwater Orchard 8.
Yeah, everything went well for Overton today. I think they wore them down, and they took over this game shortly after the second half started, and it was just over after that.
Well, that's going to wrap things up. You've been listening to the Mishko Sports Postgame Show. Mishko Sports on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center, open 7 days a week for your convenience, including late night on Thursdays, which is tonight until 8 o'clock, getting you ready for the winter sports season, wrestling, basketball. They've got the gear for you. If you need some Husker or Loper gear for the big games this weekend, stop by as well. Mishko Sports on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center. As always, a big thank you to the many fine sponsors, to Athletic Director Jay Stair and the entire crew here. Mark Ayton, Father Matt, it was a great job there today, Mark. Way to go there. Great football game as Overton wins it by a score of 39-8. Don't forget, currently airing on our sister station, KKPR FM 98.9. Elm Creek's in a little bit of a tussle with Randolph as they head into the second half of play. Then tonight, Kearney Catholic will be taking on Ravenna. pregame at 6, kickoff at 6:30. Tony and I are headed to Arapahoe for Arapahoe Amherst right here on ESPN Radio, pregame at 6:30. Final score, 39-8. Overton takes Clara of Clearwater Orchard. We'll see you in a little bit from Arapahoe. Until then, let's send it back to the studios.
The preceding broadcast was a presentation of ESPN Radio, 1460 AM and ESPNSuperstation.com. Podcasts of this and all local play-by-play broadcasts are available. To download a copy, log on to ESPNSuperstation.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Midway Chevrolet Cadillac and by Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep of Kearney.